Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, 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 not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit, but it's entertaining. Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Hakthuri, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
Here are some more people who ought to be smashed across the face repeatedly with a piece of heavy mining equipment.
The vision is renewed. The power is reawakened. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
All right. We apologize. We had a little bit of a technical issue, but we should be running okay. Kenny, you there?
I am here, sir.
What's going on, everybody? It's the Conti and Kenny Show, of course, on morelikeradio.com. From the NPN Studios, Non-Productive Studios in Clifton, New Jersey. I am Joe Conti. That is Kenny Michaels, who is on the machine. Are you on the machine, Ken?
Yeah, we're running on all cylinder.
We are running on all cylinder. Nice. We are a Honda 50 on one cylinder. Welcome, everybody.
I'm on the R2 unit.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're the R2?
How's it sound?
I'm C3PU.
C3P on you.
He was yellow.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah, there certainly is. What's going on, man? Everybody, the phone number, if you want to call in tonight, it's 330-2-CRINGE. Nobody calls anyway, but... And the Skype is NPN Studios. And, of course, our Twitter accounts, if you want to follow us on Twitter, be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, CNK Show. My Twitter account is at Joe Conti Comic, and Kenny's is at Kenny Michaels 5. Sorry, I'm just grabbing...
No, do you think? Yeah, it's down here in...
Yeah, where you at, bro? I'm pretending like I don't know where you at. Like we're doing bad fucking bad radio. Where you at, bro?
Yeah, where you at? Well, I'm on the Empire State Building and I'm about to throw water balloons onto all the tourists. Wow, it's wacky.
That's cool, no, man.
I'm sorry, that C3P on you making me
C3P on you.
For that stupid joke.
Good way to start. Oh, good way to start.
Anyway, I am in beautiful, and I stay beautiful Houston, Texas.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm a couple of thousand miles away from home.
Oh, yeah? Is it Is it nice down there? I've never been down to Texas.
There's actually when they say things are bigger, they are. The fucking traffic patterns are like 18 lanes.
Really?
And there's still traffic. Yeah, and it's just a succession of intercrossing highways outside of Texas. I mean, outside of Houston. Right. Very flat, of course. Very hot. Not as country as you would think. Where I'm staying right now for another day, because there's some kind of convention or something in downtown Texas where I'm going to be.
Okay.
I'm at like the border of like Honky Town, like Hickville. You know what I mean? I'm about a half an hour out of the heart of the city, so I can see it off in a distance. You know, the big buildings, the high rises and stuff.
Okay.
Yesterday, I went to the Yankee game. I flew in early. We'll get to that in a second. I go to a Chili's to get a chicken sandwich for dinner after the game because I was hungry. It goes 14 fucking innings later.
Oh,
I thought I'd go to the park and have a nice ball game, 9 innings, 14. I was fucking falling asleep. I mean, it was cool, but well, I'll get into that anyway. But I went to a Chili's to the takeout counter, the bar. There's fucking ashtrays laying all over the place.
Okay, so
and children.
You're not used to that, right?
No. You know, when they first started the smoking ban, it was like, who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Or, you know, you can't tell me. If I want to get cancer at a face, I'm going to get cancer. You know, it's free will. Don't impede your stupid rules on me. And then when I saw the ashtrays, I'm like, who put these fucking ashtrays here? There's children. There's fucking children. And it's lungs.
You've made a 180, huh?
It was right. It went to the other. I mean, that lasted for about 45 seconds. And I was like, I'm going to go to my car and get my smokes. I'm going to smoke in here. I'm going to smoke indoors. And it really is, to be honest, though, you know, most of the country has seen a ban for years. In our area, in the Northeast, it's been probably almost 15 years, all right? 10 years, 12 years, something like that since the smoking ban. It's getting even more and more strict. It's like days like yesterday when you realize why they did it. You know what I mean? It does cut your smoking down. And two, I mean, I'm in the bar, and as soon as I walk in, I smell cigarettes. And I'm like, what the fuck? And there's these two Chinese ladies that worked at, I don't know, Barnes & Noble or something. They both had the same shirt on, so they were co-workers. That's how I deduced that one.
Oh, okay. I deduced that
one. But they're puffing away. And then I'm like, oh, shit, smoking in a bar. Texas, people got guns. You know what I mean? Honky-tonking. This is nice. You know, I'm going to see cows and shit and horses and, you know, John Wayne and all that kind of shit.
Right.
It's a suburb. It's a Chili's. I'm not going to see John Wayne in a Chili's. Calm down. You know what I mean? I've got these delusions of, like, you know. And no, it's you hear the jingle, the Chuck E. Cheese. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
fucking suburb.
Wow.
But it really was where I like now. There's the women smoking, and it's a you can smoke in the bar. And then I lit one up. I'm like, I'm in Texas. Things are weirder here. Let's go. And then a guy comes in with he's got a baby in one arm, and he's holding the hands of another older baby. You know, like a toddler and stuff, and he's walking through the bar. And as soon as I saw that, I put the cigarette right out, and then I smashed the two Chinese ladies in the face for smoking. No, I let them be. But my attitude completely changed once I saw children. Normal, regular people, if you're in a bar and people are smoking, it's your fucking fault. Get out of the bar. Go sit at a table. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
It's not. It has nothing to do with you. But once I saw the children, it's for the children. Once I saw the kids, I'm like, put this out, you disgusting human being.
You mushed up on us, dude. You have become a mush now because you got the nieces and stuff. Now,
exactly.
You're thinking, oh, you know what? Look, I get all that. You know, like, believe me, I get aggravated every time I see another anti-bullying thing. But I do think, you know, we should try to protect our children, you know, from real shit, you know, like
real
shit. Stop blowing a five alarm fire into a girl's, you know, into a little kid's face. That's different, you know, where you're, it's like, you know, you're not, it's not like you know, they're going to get something out of it, you know, a lesson learned or a coping skill from you know, somebody blowing smoke in their face. So I understand completely what you're saying.
And I'm with you that I softened up on that one only because you have to. That's one for the team. You know what I mean? A lot of the other shit that they want to take away from you, I've got a problem with. But that one I can see because it's the babies. You know what I mean? The baby can't come up to me, punch me in the ding dong, and go, "Put your fucking cigarette out, asshole! I'm trying to eat a macaroni and cheese over here."
Right, exactly.
And you know what I mean? He can't smash me over the head, you know, with a juice box, and I'm gonna be scared.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
He can't reach my head; it'll be like in the back of my hamstring, a smushed juice box.
Yeah, so it's like. That aspect of it is down there. It's definitely different, but so there's not the big thing with Texas and everything's bigger, and you know they basically seceded from the Union almost successfully once or twice.
Well,
like,
see,
do you really
I'm
see
in,
a difference?
Yeah. Houston. I'm in the metropolitan area. It's very. I haven't heard really. I mean, I've heard a few, but it's not like when I was in Oklahoma or Arkansas where everybody had a real. Thick country accent.
Real drawl, right.
Yeah, not as many pickup trucks and shit. It really, because I'm really in the heart. No pun intended.
Hey.
You get it? In the heart of Texas.
Hey.
That just came pee on me, too. R2 pee on me, also.
Okay.
Something like that. Okay.
We'll just keep running that joke into the ground.
It's not his country because I'm there's a certain part that I'm in. I'm on the outskirts where the hotel is, about half an hour right outside. But it's so flat and so far. You go out, you walk outside, and I can see it. I can see Houston. I can see the buildings and everything. When you go into Houston, there's like a couple of different areas. There's like four different downtown areas. One has the big high rises. The other one has like regular people, you know, middle class kind of a thing.
Okay.
And then there's another section that looks almost like Miami. It's all brand new shopping centers,
dude.
And fancy lighting.
When you just said that, when you said it's all, it reminded me of Miami, and you said it's all brand new. In my mind, in that millisecond, I thought you were going to say it's all brown people. It's just so weird when you said that. That's like Miami. It's all brown people. It was just weird.
Oh yeah, no. Don't worry about down here. There's brown. There's black. There's white. There's everything down here.
Yeah, it's
down.
A nice. It's a nice potpourri of people.
Yeah, it's a metropolitan mix of assholes because everybody is.
Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter what color. If you get enough of them, you know, you get enough people in a small area, it just gets ugly, and you just want to just start punching people in the face.
Yeah, like when I was in Bentonville, Arkansas, I couldn't find a tan ass to smack anywhere. It was all white people. It was awful. There's no flavor. It was just a bunch of white idiots.
Yeah, it's just like white rice and Wonder Bread.
Yeah, it was just plain, bland. You know, throw a Cuban woman in there once in a while.
It was bland. It was safe, but it was bland, yeah. Right?
I want to see a Brazilian ass once in a while.
Nothing on it's safe, but it's bland. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I stepped on it.
I just didn't think you thought it was funny.
No, I know. I blew right through it because I'm selfish.
Of course you are. And I'm so selfish, I didn't even care about the rest of your story. I'm like, did you get my joke? Did you get my joke? 2,000 miles away. Stop what you're saying. That was just a joke, throwaway joke. But did you get it? Did you hear that? We're just selfish.
That was the battle of our selfishness, trying to get out what we wanted to say. We just subconsciously fought with each other over trying to get who's got a stupider joke. But we would argue that both of ours were good. They're better than the other.
Yeah, yeah. Who heard that? I think more people heard mine than yours, and it's all stupid. But. So how long are you out there for?
Excuse me. What's that?
How long are you out there for?
A couple of weeks, at least. Yeah, I'll be a couple of weeks. I'm not sure exactly. It all depends on how everything goes.
Yeah.
But it's a nice town, man. Supposedly there's a lot of stuff to do. I've seen a couple attractive women. I heard that's pretty good also.
Oh, okay.
Down here. You know, the Texas cities.
Is it Houston? I think it's Houston or San Antonio.
Dallas with the most women?
No. I heard Houston was one of the fattest cities.
I guess I could see that. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could probably see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's every once you get out of the metropolitan area, you know, the area that we're from, you know, everything's a chain restaurant or a, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings or something.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I could see that. Okay. But, you know, it's a lot of barbecue places still because you're in the South and it's just, it's a Southern, it's just a big Southern town, but it seems pretty cool so far. All right. Like, right in the area, like Beyonce has her house down here.
Is she from down there? Is that why? Where's she house?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. And then a couple of blocks past that is like George Bush Sr.'s house.
Get out.
Yeah, no yeah, shit. It's all right down in this area that you'll see it changes like block to block. You'll go, say you went from like 7th Ave to 6th Ave in Manhattan, is the difference between middle or upper middle class and then $1 million houses.
No shit.
Stuff. Yeah, you just cross over like one or two lights and then you're in this area that has everything's brand new and shops and all this kind of fancy boutiques and everything.
Then you go another two blocks and there's outdoor porn theaters and panhandlers playing the French horn, right?
Yeah, then another two blocks, and then it's all the brown people. that's where they stay.
Now, you went to did you said you went to the Yankee game?
Yeah. Well, it turns out the Yankees got eliminated from the postseason on Thursday night.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, you know, kind of knew it was going to happen. It was not a surprise. They've had a rough year. So there was, you know, like kind of like meaningless games kind of a thing. So I said, you know what? I'm supposed to fly in on Sunday. Why don't I ask the bosses, hey, send me out a day earlier. I could have a day off. I'm going to go to the game on Sunday and see Mariano Rivera's. We got to talk about that, too. We haven't had a chance to. That was Thursday night.
Yeah.
Mariano Rivera's his last ceremony. They were going to give him a gift. He was going to give a little speech. I wanted to be in house for that just to see it. I knew they weren't going to play Jeter and everybody because they're all older and, you know, they were going to play the young kids, you know? So I knew that. I just wanted to see a ball game in a different park.
Of course, you know, it was fun. Yeah, it's cool,
Yeah, a little mini adventure, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I fly down Saturday night. I get in the hotel and stuff and I head to the park on Sunday morning, and it's called Minute Maid Park, and it's a dome with a retractable roof. You know what I mean? From the outside, it looks like a nice car wash.
A nice wash.
It looks like a nice car. It's got like the red brick, like you would see at a ballpark, and then it's got like this kind of weird lime green trim around everywhere.
Really?
Almost like an old copper, like the color of the Statue of Liberty.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, and it looks weird. You could tell it's a ballpark because it's huge. But when I as soon as you get in there, though, and when I had parking right next to it, it was like nothing like the Bronx. I pulled up. Guy was like, you want this spot? I'm like, yeah, it's right here. There's the door. I gave him, you know, gave him a 10 spot. I'm like, watch this for me. He's like, sure. He wasn't going to watch it. He was gone when I came out after the game. The parking lot was fucking empty. So I walk into the stadium, and when you see the field, it's one of the coolest fucking things you've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever been to a football game in a dome.
No.
No, but it really is just the lighting is really cool. And the architecture of Minute Maid Ballpark is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It's the coolest kind of place to see a game. They have like a big wall in left field. It looks like the side of a building. And they've got the regular thing on the right field. And they've got a train that goes across. And it's just gigantic. The you know, it amazes me how these people know how to engineer these in architecturally, whatever they do, whatever you call that.
I call it Mike Brady-ing it.
Architecting?
Yeah.
How these people architect?
Mike Brady was the first architect I ever knew.
Oh, really?
The Brady Bunch, yeah.
And it's just phenomenal of like the workmanship that has gone into it. And I now back home, a Yankee game, $200 ticket. You're up. You're in Astoria, Queens, watching the game. You know what I mean? For $200,
right?
Down here, so I'm searching on StubHub on Thursday night, and I'm like, one of the big things too. One of the big reasons was on Thursday was Mariano Rivera's last game, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen SportsCenter and stuff. But for me, it was Niagara Falls. Oh boy, was it! It was brilliant.
Very.
When when you're Andy talking Pettit
about, and, oh yeah, when Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter came out to take him out.
Yeah, and when Mariano just
started bawling.
Oh man, I lost it too. I lost
and
it.
And Pettit just sitting there like, you know, patting his shoulder, going, "It's all right." And Jeter's just laughing. It was hilarious. He was just laughing.
Yeah, he couldn't unbury his shoulder. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was. And Pettit's like, "All right, man, we're not that cool." You know,
it's that uncomfortable. It was probably Jeter. It was almost uncomfortable. And some people, you know, when they get into a moment like that, you know, they do that. They do this uncomfortable kind of giggle, and I think that's what Jeter was doing. And it was. Let me tell you something. I'm a Yankee hater. I've hated the Yankees as long as I can remember, and they did a great job. That was,
you gotta like that moment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, I've watched Mariano Rivera a thousand times, and it just drives me nuts because I'm sitting there going, "You're major league hitters. The guy's got two pitches. You know what's coming. Hit the fucking ball." And it's frustrating, but you know, he genuinely seems like a good dude. And you know what? You applaud a guy like that. You give him a nice send off because he's been nothing but classy, and you know, unlike every other goddamn athlete in America who has to celebrate every single fucking moment, whether it's a tackle, a pitch, a catch, a layup. It's like, you know, Mariano was one of those guys where it was like, "Hey, you know what? I act like you've been there before," and he's always acted like he's been there before.
Exactly. Just clear. Even if you're not a baseball fan or you hate the Yankees, he just did it. He just did it the way good people should do it. You know what I mean? You could be outrageous.
Oh, I understand. I'm not saying that you can't have a personality, but it's just like everybody. And so it's nice when you get a Barry Sanders and you have a Mariano Rivera,
right.
They're just like, "Hey, you know what? I'm just here to do a job." You know?
And you know what? To be honest, Mariano has done it better than Derek Jeter. You know what I mean? Because Derek Jeter has never gotten in trouble, but he always comes off with this air of kind of cockiness, you know, like this not too cool for the room. That's not all right. That's not a good sports analogy, but I know I'm good. I'm not going to give you any information. I'm just going to give you, you know, milk toast. But Mariano, people around the league, just because, not only because of his numbers, they just like Mariano. He's a professional. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Jeter comes across a little bit different. But anyway, the reason I after the game, and it was Niagara Falls, I go, you know what? Oh, and I was weeping. I will tell you completely 100%. I was sports weep. It wasn't like, you know, my grandmother died. It was sports weep.
It's an emotional thing, and you have tears going down your eyes. You know what I mean? I understand that.
Sports weep is the same thing as a movie weep. You know, they're totally you don't lose any kind of man points for a sports weep or like a Shawshank Redemption weep.
Don't you know what I mean? Say man points. Stop it.
Did I say man points?
You said man points. I wish I could put a man ballpoint into your fucking head. Man points. Listen, you're watching a great career come to an end. You're watching a guy, like, literally, like, you know what I mean? The guy made $10 million for this year to come back for 1 year. It's obvious that the guy doesn't need the money. It's obvious that it's an emotional thing because the guy loves what he's doing. And now he has to spend every waking moment with his family. And he's miserable.
That's why Andy Pettit came back this year.
He's like, "These kids are driving me nuts. Give me a baseball."
He was home for a year. Give me a
baseball. "Honey, shut the fuck up. I'm going to make $12 million to throw about 1,010 pitches. Shut up."
"And what the fuck is after school night? You go, cunt." I've never been to one of those.
After school night? I've won more playoff games for the Yankees than anybody in history. You go to the fucking PTA meeting.
I'm not sitting at a goddamn Piggly Wiggly panhandling for these two twats I birthed.
I know, exactly.
Let them play softball on their own. Let them sell candy door to door like the old days. Maybe they'll vanish. Oh, man, sorry, that's horrible. They're pissing me off, and it costs too much money. I'm going back to Tampa for spring training, bitch.
Maybe they'll vanish.
Holy Get my glove, Norton. I'm going to play some ball.
Mrs. Manicotti's driving me crazy. I got to go out there and pitch a few pitches. Just funny, man. God damn, man. But yeah, that's
so,
cool, man.
So I bought a $200 ticket, mm-hmm. and I had, for $200, man, I get on the right behind home plate, probably about two or three rows caddy corner to, you know, like if I was sitting in the left-hand batter's box, directly behind home plate, foul ball central. I'm at row one, right at the fence, so I'm basically 25, 30 feet away from behind home plate at an elevated level. I was going to try to get on the field, excuse me, but I wanted to be up top. I wanted to see the whole field and kind of soak it in. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Foul. I mean, I probably almost caught probably six or seven foul balls. They were coming right back behind us. You know what I mean? I actually, if you went to the top of my section, I could go and put my hand up where the press boxes are. I saw the Houston announcers. I saw the Yankee announcers. You know, John Sterling and Michael Kay and
oh, yeah?
Goodness gracious!
Oh my God! What a wonderful, an amazing moment of emotion!
And all the drama. You know what? Can you YouTube Let Mariano's Last? Maybe we can play it.
You know what? I heard them playing on the radio. There really was.
There was nothing.
It really wasn't like for the audio for them too. Which I kind of understand. They were just sitting there. Let me see.
See if you could pop it up. But, you know, I'll continue. I'm there. And now, when you go back, it's the club seating. So it's a special, you pay a little bit extra money, and you get a couple of extra perks. Wonderful, awesome seats. One of the best seats I've ever had at a ball game. And, like I said, I wasn't close to the field. Elevated up, saw every pitch, every angle. Basically in the home plate umpire's vision. You know what I mean? I was right there, but above him. Watching every foul ball. So you go up, and I'm like, all right, well, let me get a couple of beers or something like that. And I go up there, and it's all carpeting, and there's a couple of different bar lounges in there. There's a fucking carving station where they got chefs with the 2-foot hats cutting up, you know, brisket sandwiches.
Okay.
I'm like, what the fuck? Well, you know, I'm thinking brisket. I'm thinking, what does a Texas guy know about a Jewish meat? You know what I mean? Because in New York, brisket is a deli thing. It's a deli. You get deli Danish, you get a brisket, you know? It's a Jackie Mason, you know, Billy Crystal sandwich. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Down there, brisket is, oh, we're going to cook up some goddamn brisket. It's a big fucking deal with the barbecue. The Texas barbecue. So so I'm thinking like, you know, little old Jewish lady brisket, and these guys are serving this mammoth bull ass that's smothered in, you know, tangy barbecue sauce, just falling off the nut. Just honestly, I mean, they were beautiful. I didn't get to one. I was eating hot dogs.
Right.
But I should have got a brisket sandwich, but totally different just by geography. You know what I mean? Our version of brisket. You know, it's on rye, you know, this, you get a pickle, you take it home, you talk about things, you talk about deli. Down there, it's, we're going to cut this ass off this bull and stick it in that goddamn spinner. We're going to lather it, cook it for 4 goddamn hours, lather it in barbecue sauce, and then serve it up on a bun, toasted with some fried shit on the side. You know? So, I'm at the game, I have a couple of beers, I cut a couple of dogs, you got to do it, and, sitting right there, so I'm like, all right, it's 1-0, okay, for the whole game. It was a good game. It was exciting. I loved being there. I saw them give Mariano a bunch of gifts in the beginning. Joe Torre was there. Roger Clemens was there. He said, but they both had a little speech, so it was pretty cool. So then the game goes on. It's 1-0 Astros. Then it's 1-1, and then it starts getting a 7th and 8th inning. It's still 1-1. 14 fucking innings later. 14 fucking innings later.
You just wanted to go to a game. You just wanted to just, you know, see Minute Maid Park and just hang out a little bit. You get to see a game. Instead, you got to see some an absolute meaningless game
in a sense where
it nothing. Was, yeah, meant I blew the load. You know, I had the money shot when Mariano was there. That was it. End of right. it. I'm not going to see Jeter. There's certainly nobody on the fucking Astros I want to go see.
Well, if you want to see minor league players, you can look on the Astros.
No, they all wash cars in the offseason in center field. That fucking weirdo place.
Oh, yeah, man. I think they're I found something with Mariano Rivera cries on mound at his Yankee Stadium farewell.
Oh, let's see if we got it.
Let's see if it's got it here.
How's this for drama?
That's Mike Kay.
Yeah, it's Michael Kay.
Yeah,
now
he's
hugging Andy Pettit, and he won't let go. And he's like, "All right, get off my tit already, will you?"
Sterling should. You're snotting on you're snotting on my fucking razor. There should be, if you search John Sterling, Mariana. If you start with John Sterling, because people like to listen to him babble. And there's another thing, too, that people can search later on, but Jim Leland, the manager of the Tigers, totally snot bubbles.
He's really?
Crying. Yeah, he's crying, and he's like, I just want to thank all the fans. And he's an old, rigid dude. He still chain smokes in the dugout.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's blubbering, and all of a sudden you see this beep, this fucking snot coming out of his proboscis.
Yeah, so now he's coming off, and he's... looks like he was squirted in the eye with some tit milk, and he's tapping he's pulling his cap up and giving him a standing O, well deserved.
What if he totally was joking around and he was just like he was a kind of a prankster, a playful guy, and he just buried his face in Andy's chest and was going, I'm drinking Milkies. I want Milkies. He's like, I'm going to ruin this moment. Watch. I'm drinking Milkies. I want milk. I want milk. And he's going, that's why Derek's laughing. We all take it as this great baseball moment, and he's sucking tit. Fake sucking tit.
Hang on, let me see.
See if there's a Sterling. If not, we'll move on. But, yeah, 14 innings, man, and I had two beers. I have the rental car, so I can't drink, you guys won't believe me. But I can't do it. It's too much at stake. So I had, I got in there at 12:30, parked, went to the ballpark, saw the ceremony. By 1:15, had a beer, third inning, had another beer, and that was it. The problem is if I have two beers by the fifth inning, by the 12th, I'm fucking falling asleep. I'm literally on the first rail with my hands over the rail. You know how they watch the game, the guys in the dugout?
Oh, yeah, of
right?
course.
With their, they're underneath their elbows is the bar, and they're watching it field thing, right? I'm basically doing that over the second deck, the edge of the second deck.
Oh, wow.
Every time I hear the ball make contact, I'm shitting myself because all the foul balls are flying back.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to get knocked in the head because you're passed out.
Yeah, that's all I need is get smashed in the mush with a foul ball and then tumble over the side to my, short and my death.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? And take out somebody underneath me. So I was falling asleep so much that I had to move. I had to get up and stand by the press boxes because I'm like, I'm falling asleep. Not that the game wasn't exciting. It was just that I had two beers and Daddy wanted a nap. You know what I mean?
Well, you're a little older now. You get a couple drinks and you want to take a little nappy poo.
Yeah, a little nappy poo right over the edge the second day.
Yeah, of course.
I would have been a da-da-da, da-da-da. Dead, dead, dead. Dead, dead, dead.
Next on ESPN, a drunken Houston Astros fan gets plunked in the head and falls 14 stories to his death. He only had a 0.001 alcohol level, but He had a, I don't know.
Listen, whatever. Pal, I have apnea. It's from the night before, okay? I snore too much, and I wake up in the night when I'm not sure of it. So I go out through the day, and it's some sort of a malaise, all right? So two beers puts me over the edge, Dazzle. And could you imagine if they, like, caught me doing something stupid, like nodding off and then bashing my face into the metal bar in front of me?
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. They just showed a woman the other day. Right, I guess it was right by the dugout, or you know, by the sideline, and it was it might have been right behind the dugout, and it was a little girl, and I guess she almost got a foul ball, but she didn't get it right, and maybe so a player went and threw a ball to her, you know, like 6 feet, like tossed it to her.
I saw that.
And this broad next to, she gets up. She only got up, like, you know, stood up and went a foot and grabbed the ball, literally.
Intercepted it, yeah.
Not even intercepted it. It went in the little girl's hands, and she ripped it out of her hands and then sat back down, and her friends are high-fiving her. I'm like, you're high-fiving her? She just ripped the ball. Like, how important is a baseball to you, you twat? Like, I couldn't believe it.
If anybody's not sure what the C word is, just go to YouTube and search cunt, and that video will pop right up.
Yeah, I think it's under, this woman has a place in hell for her, and I think that's what it was, but look, if you're sitting there and the ball's coming at you, you're not looking around to see who's catching the ball, you know what I mean? You're just looking, and you're just like, oh my god, but this was like, here you go, this is for you, little girl. She jumps up and grabs the ball, literally, a girl like, almost caught it, and then because she knocked the girl's, like she almost knocked her over, and then a ball popped out, she grabbed it and sat back down, and her fucking friends like high-fived her. She almost looked like Kim Kardashian's mother. Like,
exactly.
Which would have been appropriate.
Now, I had a situation like that once in Yankee Stadium. I was in the left field, and we were catching batting practice. You go out to left field, and you catch all the home runs. So this ball bounces around, and I have to lean over the seats in front of me and dig underneath the seats to grab a ball. So I can't see anything. I'm leaned over. You know what I mean? I'm just reaching around, and I feel hands hitting me. It was almost like a Yankee Stadium glory hole. You were just feeling around and just felt other people's hands touching you. batting practice glory hole. So I'm totally tipped over, and I'm about to fall over, and I'm reaching in, and I feel the ball. I grab the ball. So I get up, and I look at my sister, and I'm like, yeah. And she points at him, and he's like, that was him. And it was a little 7-year-old, and he's got this dejected look on his face, and he just turns around and walks away. And I'm like, little buddy, hey buddy, no, this is yours. I was mortified. Absolutely, yeah, mortified, course. Yeah, because I was, you know, if it was an adult, I would have punched him one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, fuck you, dude.
You got a ball.
But this was a little kid. This could have been his dream. He'll dream about this forever.
Of course.
And I stole it. Yeah. I stole his dream.
Like, what a douche. I couldn't believe this woman.
It was immediate. I was like, buddy, I'm like, and I ran after him. I'm like, no, hey, man, you taking it.
No.
Father high-fived me.
I was just holding it for you.
yeah. I've got more where this came from, little kitty. You want me to want to go to the bathroom?
S Maniac in the chat, when we were talking about, you know, like high-fiving her, like her friend like high-fived her. S Maniac in the chat put high five to the face. Like, he just said a high five to her right in her mush. You know,
exactly.
What are you doing, dummy? What are you taking that for? Excuse me.
When you openly hand smack a woman hard enough, your excuse is this: I'm just trying to high five your nasal canal.
I was high fiving your proboscis.
This is between me and your proboscis. You stay out of it.
you and the police stay out of this. All right.
Yeah. You don't know what we have going. It's our relationship. You should have no problem. It's attached to your spinal column. But when I try to give it a high five, don't judge me. Start watching sports with me. And stop nagging. Make something eat.
Oh, man.
So, that's sexist.
I'm not going to talk about this too much because you never watched it, but the final episode of Breaking Bad, and you know what? I won't even mention it in case there's some people listening in podcasts and they got the, you know, and they're like, you know, sitting there wherever, and instead of having to take it and fast forward, I won't mention it, how it ended, but it was an amazing ending. It was great. And
That's big news all over. That's what everybody's talking about.
This is huge. They said it was. Do you remember how many people watched the finale of The Sopranos?
I don't remember. I'm guessing.
If anybody in the chat rooms can look it up and maybe just tell us what approximately how many people watched The Sopranos, because Breaking Bad, it was 10.4 million people, which is you know, that's cable, you know, and that's a show that you don't just like. Even though I love the show House, but you don't have to watch the show House in order. You know what I mean? Because each episode is like its own entity. There might be a part one or a part two, but you can you can miss two or three episodes and still know what's going on, because it's kind of a show, and it's an hour show built about that hour. But this is this 5 seasons of buildup to this final episode. And what has been going on over the last couple of years? Because this is my only complaint to AMC.
Hold on, Joe. How many did you say that Breaking Bad was?
10.4 million, they said.
It's 11.9.
Sopranos?
On the last Sopranos, yeah.
That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. And
you know what? The season premiere of Duck Dynasty this year was like 8.3 or something.
I don't believe that. I don't even believe that.
Some ridiculous.
They said there's 15 million people watching Duck Dynasty. I don't buy it. I don't believe these numbers anymore. The Sopranos numbers and Breaking Bad, you could see it. There is a rabid fan base.
How do they know?
Well, first of all, it's just it's like finding out how many people are listening to radio. They've been lying about that forever with Arbitron and all of these. It's all padded numbers, you know, because like they used to say, well, you know what, you had a X amount of listeners because somebody would tune into your station for 30 seconds and they would count that as a listener. It was just nonsense, dude.
It's all based on hype, I guess.
Yeah, 11.9 million for The Sopranos. But the thing is, I have one complaint about AMC, and here's my complaint. When Breaking Bad first came out, I remember when Breaking Bad first came out, and I remember seeing commercials for it, and they did a disgraceful job promoting this show and what it was all about, because the only reason I watched it was because my friend Bill was like, dude, you got to watch this Breaking Bad. I'm like, "What? I've seen it. What is it? A guy, he's bald, he's not bald. What happened?" And then he proceeds to tell me. And basically, you just go to somebody and go, yeah, it's a chemistry teacher. Boring guy, family, about to have a kid, finds out he's got 18 months to live. He's got lung cancer, never smoked, starts to cook meth with one of his ex-students, and shit starts happening. I'm like, I'm on it. I'm watching this. But they never, ever promoted it right. You never got the gist of what the show was about from the commercials. It was terrible.
They probably made the show, but just put together the pitch. Say I'm an executive, and then give me the quick plot that you just said.
Say that again?
Yeah, give me the same plot that you just said, the same overview of the as you're pitching. Say I'm an executive.
Okay.
You're pitching it to me.
Okay. So it's about a chemistry teacher in New Mexico who, a family man, has got a kid on the way and another kid, and he just finds out that he's got 18 months to live. He's got stage 4 lung cancer, and he's not even a smoker. And he decides to start making meth with one of his ex-students who's a drug dealer. And he starts making this most amazing meth because he's a brilliant chemistry teacher.
All right, he's got 18 months to live. Do 8 episodes, and we'll talk afterwards. That's exactly how it went down. He's only got 18 months. Let's do 8 episodes, see what the people think, and then we'll talk later.
And it's ironic that you say that, because the first season, and that's the thing, you can get into this show very quickly, because the first season had only 7 episodes, because it was during the strike when they were having the writer's strike. So they kind of stopped, and then they continued it up, and then you go into 2, 3, 4, and 5. And 5 was actually split up into 2 seasons. Like, it's really like 5 and 6. It was one season of 16, but they took 2 years to do it. They did season 5 last year, and then the same season 5 this year. But it was just terribly promoted. And what this is, this show right here, And I think, Kenny, it's almost a motivation for anybody in arts or a musician or your anything, is that there still is this word of mouth, because Breaking Bad got huge because people were talking about it. People were saying, you got to watch this show. Check this show out. And of course, you have to back it up with a really good product. And they did. But, you know, the first episode had 1.4 million people checking it out. The last episode, almost 11. So that shows how it's all, it wasn't like, hey, everybody who was on board stayed on board and that's how it ended. It was, wow, every year people are hearing more about this, more and more. Hey, we got to check this out. Got to check this out, you know. And, you know, and that's how a lot of stuff is. You know, you can't just rely on the promotion and commercials and all this nonsense, you know.
Yeah, for any, you know, writers out there or any aspiring writers, I would just say put it in the, you know, put it, take it with the gumbo and put it in the pot and see what happens.
Hey, does anybody, because
remember the gumbo pot? You didn't hear that from last week?
The gumbo shit pot? Gumbo pot? You can listen to last week. I was talking about putting everything in a gumbo pot or something like that.
We're doing it totally backwards.
Yeah. S Maniac in the chat says he doesn't, I don't know if it's a girl or a guy. I don't know if they show it here in Australia, but I'm sure they would. Don't even wait. If you're in, just go to Breaking Bad. Just
Netflix, yeah.
Or Netflix and just start watching it. And you're lucky, because I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to do that. I don't care. But the first episode.
You know what? You're so enamored with the conversation of Breaking Bad. You didn't even mention that he was like here in Australia.
Yeah. No, that's cool, right? We got yeah, somebody in Australia right. Checking us out. But
it's awesome. This is definitely one of those. This is definitely one that I'm going to have to like commit to. You know what I mean? I'm traveling. I have to commit to buying, getting the box set, the DVDs, or borrowing or something like that, and just actually sitting down and kind of digging my, because I would probably love it. You know what I mean? I would probably love it if I just dug my heels in and
how funny is this? In the chat, S Maniac, I'm reading, I'm quoting now. You should promote it. You sold it. You should promote. You sold it to me with your description of Breaking Bad, LOL, and I'm a guy, Scott, for the record. So basically, just my 2 minutes of this, sold Breaking Bad. Dude, yeah, I sell more than I sell Dexter.
Yeah, but you also, what are you going to do, print up a Breaking Bad DVD collection stickers and give them away to anybody who still has us?
I know. I should start promoting myself like this. I'm the most amazing comedian in the world. You know, it's just...
We didn't even mention the stickers yet.
Oh, yeah, that's so right. We got stickers. We got Conti Kenny stickers. If you want stickers, just email us at ContiandKenny@AOL, and we will send you stickers. I don't know how many. Am I going to be able to send it to Australia?
Yeah.
We're working out.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, we're paying for the we're paying for the postage, because Kenny's got a lot of money. Kenny's loaded now. He's got enough money to fly to Houston. S Maniac, I'm just since you're there, just type in the chat. Is this your first time listening? And how'd you hear about the show? And appreciate you checking us out. But yeah, dude, this show, and you know how much I love Dexter. I mean, I have Dexter in the intro, and I will say this last season of Dexter was okay, and the ending, I'll go with the masses and go, the ending kind of stunk, right. But it still does not erase, I think, like six great seasons of a great show that entertained
me.
And you know, but you know what it is, dude, like, you know. People are talking about Breaking Bad. Oh, wow. S Maniac, just checking out for the first time, stumbling across Ustream. Well, cool, man. Email us, dude. We'll send you some Conti Kenny stickers. Promise.
And check out the shorts.
Out Conti Kenny shorts, which is, we got 7 episodes. They're all like 20 to 30 minutes, and they're like little best of snippets of the show.
And, but we've been doing it for 11 years.
Yeah, we've been doing this shit since 2005.
See how we're trying to keep him as a listener? Like, no, we only have, you know, 30-minute bits. No, we've been doing this a long time.
We've been doing this a long time. Yeah. But as much as I love Dexter.
I'm sorry, Joe. Real quick, Breaking Bad, is it over? Was this the last episode?
That's it. Done.
You didn't explain. I'm sorry, but did you explain what you thought of the last episode, or did I miss that?
I thought it was great. And
you
I
did.
Think
okay.
If you're going to complain about this last episode, I think you're just complaining just to complain, I think.
Does Batman die in it?
No. Batman, no. What happened was Walter White faked his death and moved to Paris. That's what happened. But that's kind of, and you know what, and I'll spoil it for Dexter because it's been over a week now, but that's what Dexter did. His sister died.
And just watch the movie Eddie and the Cruisers, and that's the story of the final episode.
It's unfortunate because, see, I love Dexter. It's like one of my favorite shows I've ever watched. And I love Breaking Bad.
Don't tell me the guy White is sanding a boat in Cihuatanejo in Mexico,
and a black man who doesn't come from the front of the beach. He comes rolling down the side of the beach.
The side of the beach.
In
he's
a hat
just
and a
fucking
in a suit with fucking knickers on.
Yeah, hey jerk off. There's a fucking tiki bar 20 yards behind me.
Actually, you know what happened? Walter White, of course, is the main character. Bryan Cranston. The way it ended was they found out that, how do I put this? He's Kaiser Sose, all right? That's what it was. Walter White is Kaiser Sose.
He's hanging out with Chaz Palminteri. Kobayashi comes and picks him up in a Jaguar.
Yeah, and what happened was he was flying back home from Korea, and his plane went down. And radar came in and told everybody that Walter White died from the plane crash. Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm not going to even do it because there might be some people who haven't checked it out. And last night, dude, they not only, I mean, it was a 75-minute episode, but now they have instantly, November 26th, they're putting out this thing that you can buy. It's all stuff that's referenced.
November 26th doesn't sound like instantly. It's like a month, 2 months.
No. It's November 26th. I'm just typing an email here.
Yeah.
They're putting out a new thing where it's going to be the complete box set of Breaking Bad, but not just DVDs. Like the DVDs are in this barrel. Which is, I don't know how big the barrel is. It might be like the size of a trophy, you know. And it's all references to the show. And there's going to be T-shirts and all these things. And you know what? It's going to sell like crazy. I don't care. It's probably going to be $200.
Like 50 hours of new stuff or something? Or
no. Yes, there will be some. I know they said there's going to be one DVD that's going to have a bunch of the scripts that of scenes that they never even filmed. And if people want to read it, I don't know if there's going to be outtakes and whatnot, but it doesn't matter. The stuff that they have, it's going to be great. This is going to linger for a long time. And Vince Gilligan, this is a guy who was part of the X-Files. He's the one that was the creator of this.
You're in Hollywood and you still have a last name Gilligan. I would change it to Schwartz.
Vince Gill. I'll change it to Schwartz.
Yeah. Well, Rosenbaum. You're in Hollywood, dude. You know, use what you can. Marianne said last night's final was amazing. Finale was amazing. She liked it.
Listen, there were a lot of people
Lust
that
and
did
love
not...
after us 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they're gonna call in later. There was a lot of people that complained about the Dexter ending, and you know what? You know, whatever. It's like Dexter's like my son, and you know, he pretty much, you know, I'm pretty much going to do, you know, whatever, you know, I'm always going to be on his side, but yeah, it wasn't that great. And it definitely lacked the ending that it could have been, which is okay. What the fuck is... Oh.
Do you think the writers, after a while, they just mail it in? And they're like, I'm worn out. You know, it's like rock bands with albums. You know, the first album, they work on it for years and years and years. Yeah. And that's their best material, just like stand-up shows. You know, the Eddie Murphy had two of them. Chris Rock had, you know, five, but only two were watchable. You know what I mean? And then after a while, you just burnt out. You don't have enough. You don't have any more material.
Yeah.
So by like season five or six, you know, it's the inevitable jump in the shark. You know, they just tell Dexter, let's have him fuck a cat. You know, have him take milk baths all the time. Just milk bath yeah. with Epsom salt. And then it curds and it becomes a nice cheese by morning.
And you know what the issue is, dude? The thing with Dexter is that because Dexter and Breaking Bad are two very popular shows that ended pretty much at the same time. And it's almost like, dude, if you know, you're a, I don't know, I'm trying to think. You're, what would be a great example? Okay, you're, let's say, Deep Purple, right? You know, Deep Purple's a really great band, right?
Sure, sure.
Great band. And they've had some great albums, and you may not know a lot of Deep Purple, but they have some great shit. And you're like, we're Deep Purple! But the night before, the fucking Beatles played there. You know what I mean? You just, the crowd just saw the Beatles, and... Even though on your own, you're still a great band, but you're like, we're standing next to the Beatles. And that's Breaking Bad is such a great show that it's almost like put anything next to it and it's going to make it look not as good, you know?
Because, you're saying in Dexter's way. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? And plus, Dexter, the last season was lackluster. And, you know, and I still think it's to me, it's still one of my favorite shows. It's still in my top five shows of all time. Unfortunately, so is Breaking Bad. And Breaking Bad's probably ahead of Dexter. But I recommend both of them. Dexter is going to be a little bit more of it's going to have a little bit more of a popcorn feel in a sense of some of the other characters.
Popcorn feel? What, does the show have psoriasis?
No. S Maniac is going to leave a hole in a lot of people's lives. Dexter is a great show. It is. And, but this, and this is somebody who I just sold Breaking Bad. And dude, Scott in Australia, I'll tell you right now, I love Dexter. Dexter is, I named my fucking cat Dexter. Okay. That's how much I love that show. And it is Deep Purple compared to the Stones when you compare it to Breaking Bad. That's how great Breaking Bad is. Even though I think Dexter's an amazing show because you base it on such a unique character. But the whole thing was just great. And it's sad that it's over, but I'm glad because now at least my Sunday nights, I can just, I can do more things. Although now we watch Once Upon a Time. Yes, call me a faggot and hit me in the face with a scrub brush. But yeah, I watch Once Upon a Time with my girlfriend. Okay.
Scrub brush? What are you, in a 1925 infirmary?
I don't know, but I'm sure Dave Ingram from Copenhagen is going to be sampling that and making that into a fucking sound clip.
What a scrub brush.
Call me a fag and hit me with a scrub brush. But...
That's a fucking best combination of words I've heard in a long time.
But yeah, we watch Once Upon a Time, so it's okay. It's cute. I'm not going to try to be manly about it. I watch it. My girlfriend got me into it. I basically, out of all these shows, I watch Dexter, I watch Breaking Bad, I watch Once Upon a Time, I watch Shameless, and then I watch The Newsroom. That's pretty much it.
The only way that you get away with watching Neverland or whatever it was is if you have hurt Bundy, your hand, like from Married with Children. What the hell is his name? Son of a bitch, just came in.
Who?
The character in Ted, not Ted Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Al Bundy.
Not Ted Bundy. He's the one that murdered women.
Yeah,
Al Bundy just hated him. Go ahead.
Yeah, instead of you putting your hand down your pants, she puts, you know, and you see a little jingle jingle during Neverland or whatever the hell you're watching.
Yeah. It's, last night was the season premiere. What are you going to do? So we watched a season premiere of that and then watched the ending of Breaking Bad. So, all right. Think we should take a quick break?
Yeah, I need to use the lavatory.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we got to talk about a lot of other stuff. What? What?
Just fucking hilarious how that you said that. Yeah. You just got to talk. I know exactly what we're going to talk about, and it's really not a lot of other stuff.
No, it's not. All right, let me tease a little bit. Hold on. Let me do a little teasing. We have a song. We have a song by this woman who...
Here we go. That's it. Leave it at that.
Okay. And then we have a very famous person, a video from them in the early 70s.
Doing, okay. Leave it at that.
A spokesperson for a group of people.
Okay.
That's kind of funny. And then there's another woman who has another song. Two songs tonight by women that are pretty provocative. How about that, Kenny? Pretty goddamn provocative.
I'm excited.
Are you?
No.
I didn't think so. All right, let's take a break. This song, I'm going to play this song. It's my cousin's little band. It's a little project called Full Blown Cranium. And this song is called She's Only Happy When She's Feeling Miserable. And you're checking out the Conti and Kenny Show, and we'll be back in a few minutes on more.
And
like
she also likes to watch Neverland premieres and ruin Breaking Bad.
All right.
Sorry, Bev.
All right. All right, we'll be right back.
Kenny Michaels from the Conti and Kenny Show always shares how his favorite website, shushtime.com, provides his need for intellectual stimulation.
I think I might have done that correctly.
Oh, okay.
I'm very proud of you, Kenny.
All right,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and now I'm on shushtime, watching a Russian chicken truck smash into a bunch of school children.
The Conti and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. go to adamandeve.com. And for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Missed a previous show? Want to catch up with the show? Have nothing else better going on with your life? Download podcasts of The Conti and Kenny Show. They are on iTunes, and for you Apple haters, they are now on Stitcher. You can also go to morelikeradio.com or theContiandKennyShow.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no, no, no. God, oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
God. Not as painful as that! Yeah.
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Hello? Hello? You are listening to the Conti and Kenya. Show. Sorry, what? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show. On, what's it called? MoreLikeRadio.com. You are listening. The Conti and Kenya Show. I said it again? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's apparently what you are listening to. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenya Show on MoreLikeRadio.com. Wait a minute, that's what I said. What? Sorry. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenya Show. This is Barack Obama. You're listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. I was born in Kenya.
All right, we're back. Are you back, Kenny?
Mm-hmm. Yep,
little Stormtroopers of Death. This was like me when I was 16. This is like last week, right, dude? Me driving around in my Venza. What kids are going to make fun of me for listening to this? Man, look at the 40-year-old dude driving around in a Venza. Really? You going to make fun of my music, faggots?
Stormtroopers of Death also sounds like AIDS-infected sperm.
Yeah, that could be, yeah. All right, we're back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show.
It makes more sense when it settles in.
Yeah, yeah. So does the whole program, apparently. It takes a while for everybody to get soaked in with all this. The phone number, if you want to call in, it's 330-2-CRINGE. Figure it out. Or if you want to use Skype, it's NPN Studios. And go into the chat. If you want to go in the chat, it's morelikeradio.com/live. And, of course, arrogance and alcoholism, that is the theme to this program. And Kenny is in Houston, so he's doing it via Skype.
I can't. I'm moving hotel rooms.
Hotel
is nice. It's new. But this, my room stinks, dude. It smells like somebody.
Oh, it like literally stinks. Like not like it sucks. It stinks.
No. The place is nice. The neighborhood's nice. Everything's right. Brand new. It smells like somebody overflowed the bathroom, and the rug is just got that musty smell.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's the worst, man. I know.
Yeah, so I've been trying to keep the, you know, I turned the AC off down during the show. It's not hot. It's temperate.
Mm-hmm.
But
It's temperate. It's temperate.
But I went outside to smoke a cigarette real quick, and when you get used to it, when you come back in, it's like, oof. So for the last like couple of nights, I've been like buying popcorn in the little snack bar they have downstairs, and coffee, just to like make something odoriferous to try to cover up the smell. But you're used to it. And then once you come back in the room, you're like, oh god. It really is. You know, I've been leaving doo-doos in the bowl in the morning to freshen it up in the afternoon.
Thanks. Really?
Back.
You know a room stinks when you're taking a dump to try to make it smell better.
Exactly. Yeah. The place is not a dump. The place is nice. I like it.
Okay.
It's just this. Somebody peed in this rug.
Ugh, God.
I've been known to defile a hotel room in my day.
Yeah, that's true. I know. You've done some bad things in your day. I just played the rejoiner with Dave Cyrus doing the Obama impression. Real quick, I don't want to get into this because this just gets me so angered, the stupid political chat. But I can talk to you about it because you're not a sheep. You just kind of don't believe in anything anymore. There's something about, I don't know, the government might be closed down, right? They might shut her down, right?
Yeah, well, from what I gather, and I am by no means a expertise on politico,
yeah.
If you will.
Well, that would actually be refreshing if you weren't. You know what I mean? It's refreshing that you're not.
From what I understand, basically a government shutdown is all government workers, except for the TSA, like the FBI and whatnot, they have to keep air traffic controllers and stuff like that. Everybody else is not going to work and you're not getting paid because they can't agree on a budget. Because starting in October, I believe October 1st, the Obamacare thing happens where, you know, pretty much everybody's going to have some sort of health care that the person has to pay for themselves. Not even if you're working, if you're unemployed or whatever, you have to have some sort of coverage. You know, and when you get into stuff like this, I don't know much about it.
No, dude, let me tell you something. If you want to know, log into my Facebook account and follow and look at my timeline, because everybody on my Facebook is an expert at what's going on with Obamacare. Everybody knows, dude. It's amazing.
Well, every show I've seen, everybody's an expert, and it's 9,000 different opinions.
Oh, no, yeah, so dude. No. The people on my Facebook know, all right? They're smart. They know because they read somewhere else that it sucks, so they know.
Your cousin Vinny owns a deli. What the fuck's he know about Obamacare?
I don't know, dude. It's a bunch of nonsense.
Really, are you being dead serious that they actually have a grasp on it?
No, I'm being completely sarcastic. Just a bunch of jagoffs. Our pal Scott from Australia. Said it's October 1st here already. I'm from the future. Don't be alarmed. Yeah, so it's like
he is from the future.
But it's just it's become like every time there's something and look, I know this is a big deal.
Sorry to interrupt you, but there's a guest. And they didn't put their go to change username on the right hand side of the website and come up with a nice username.
Oh, in the chat room?
Yeah, the chat room, because it's what you guys happen. Talk on here.
Yeah, what'll happen is, you click change username, and then all of a sudden in the spot where you would type, like these two slashes and Nick comes up for nickname. So just type in whatever your name is, you hit enter, and boom, you have your little cute little name for the chat room.
And it says, what place are you talking about that smells bad? I'm kind of thinking that someone who works at the hotel might be listening to me. Because I've made friends already.
Well, you don't have to say the hotel name, but you could just say it's a major hotel chain, right?
Yeah, no, it's the hotel is fine. There's just some funky smell in the rug. And then that same guest says, Obamacare sucks, all caps. So,
you know what? I don't know if it suck. It could suck. I have no idea. Everybody's getting these regurgitated because, you know what? Every single person on television that is telling people what they think Obamacare is, they're telling it with an agenda. They're telling it with bias, whether they're for or against. You know what I want to see once? I want to see somebody on Facebook or Twitter who was either a fan of Obama or wasn't a fan of Obama now change their mind. I just want to see one fucking dummy on this planet that is passionate enough about fucking politics to actually go, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm supposed to, you know what? I can't stand this guy because I watch Fox or I watch MSNBC.
Was Sirhan.
Or my daddy taught me to be a conservative, or my mommy taught me to be a liberal. Whatever it is, it's just another dopey religion that has been fucking, landed upon people. And you know what? I want to see one person who thinks Obama's Jesus or who thinks Obama's the Antichrist to actually say, hey, you know what? You know what, on this or on something, or hey, you know what, I'm kind of changing my mind on this guy, or you know what, it's not what I thought it was, or whatever. Because you know what, if you don't shut your fucking mouth because you're predictable and you're annoying, okay, we get it, you don't like Obama, or we get it, you think he's the greatest thing since fucking sliced bread, you're boring, you have nothing interesting to say, everything you say is predictable and boring, it is the same thing, yes, we get it, he's a socialist, he wasn't born in this country, or he's the greatest thing, you know, it's like, no, he's none of those things. He's just another fucking political fucking person put in office, and obviously he's doing certain things that he may think is better for the country, but in reality there are things that are in place, they've been in place for years, and things are going to go through the way things are going to be going through via the way things were planned. So shut up already. And it just makes, you know what it does, dude? It just makes me keep just Xing out more and more fucking people on my dumb Facebook. Oh, you got something really stupid politically to say? Click, yeah. Done. I don't have to see your dumb fucking posts anymore.
It's always funny when someone you think is like a friend of yours or someone you think is cool and smart, you've hung out with for a long time, and then they post something on Facebook and you're like, you're an asshole. You just are an idiot. Not because your opinion sucks, it's just because you have one. You know what I mean?
It's just because nobody has, like, you know, it's almost like I've been saying this the last couple of days. Could one black guy between the ages of fucking 18 and 30 not like Jay-Z? Could one fucking white dude between the ages of fucking 30 and 50 actually think hip-hop has some sort of worth to it? Could one fucking, you know what I mean? Like, could somebody please fucking break these fucking molds of stereotypes that seem to just fucking stick with people? I'm not talking about the old school racist stereotype. Just like, you know, it's like, why can't people just step out of the mold for a second and think for yourself for a minute and come up with your own friggin' thoughts about something instead of just the same old regurgitated shit that I've been listening to for the last fucking 8 years on fucking social media. Because before that, I didn't hear anybody's dumb opinions about politics and religion.
You know what, Joe? What would be the difference if the majority of the country was a bunch of me's, where they really have no formulated opinions, and when they do,
it's not theirs.
It's either not theirs or it's not well thought out at all.
Yeah. It's just, You know, like, if you really do think, and somebody told me this over the weekend, almost every leading psychiatrist says, if you truly think in black and white, and I'm not talking about with race, I'm talking about, like, things right. are black and white. If you don't truly think that there is a huge gray area, then you're not that bright. They've said it. They said it. It's absolutely true. If you really think things are black and white, things are either this way or that way, then you're just not that bright of a person. And, you know, I think it's 100%, because if you don't know that there's a gray area for almost every discussion you could imagine, you know?
Then I think absolutely every situation.
Almost everything has a gray area, you know?
Of course.
You can think of the most awful thing in the world, and there's a gray area, you know? I mean, there are certain examples. You know, you could sit there and go, yeah, you know what? I think we can all agree that Hitler was a real douchebag. You know what I mean?
And, sure. I think that the two biggest black and whites are Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There wasn't much gray area there.
S-Maniac in the chat. People are slaves to expectations and stereotypes. Too worried about being judged for having a mind of their own. It's sad, but a reality in a world we live in. He's got a good point, but I think, do you think we still are in a world where you're shunned for having your own, like, truly your own opinion, or, you know, like, really, you know, going, you know, off... you know, off kilter, or having an opinion about, because I think that's what makes, the fuck are you doing?
Sorry, there's ice.
Jesus Christ, I thought you broke your bones. I thought somebody fucking ran you over in a car.
No, that's the microphone.
It just, you know, like, I think that's what makes great comics, because you know what makes a great comic? Taking
being
a subject and having a headshot is, you know what, finding something and putting your own take, your own twist on it. And to just be able to do that and then take that with other things, like things that obviously get people all fired up because people think black and white when it comes to politics. They absolutely do. And right. It's like, you know what? You're just two people or two parties that are just yelling at each other and just waiting for the other person or party to finish so they can get their point of view in. There's no negotiating. There's no working together. It's all bullshit.
Well, the average person that doesn't deal with politics, except for office politics or work or compromise, mm-hmm. they have a better ability to say, yeah, I was wrong, or I like your idea better. But when you are so involved in politics, as most of all these politicians are for years, you automatically become jaded, and you separate yourself because now you're on a team. Now you're on a side. And you know, it's very, very, very rare. And then all it is you get together with all your liberal cronies or your right-wing cronies, and you guys just talk about shit, and it completely snowballs into you being a completely – not a person for the people, but a person for your party.
Of course, and for you. Because let's face it, the government positions were made for regular people to go in – and serve for a while.
By the people.
That's what it was. It was like you were a farmer. It's like, all right, you know what? For 2 years, you're going to serve as whatever. And you go in there and then you serve. And then you go back out and you know, and you continue to live the rest of your life. And now you have career politicians.
When I first started doing stand-up, I thought I was going to be a server for like a year. And then it turned into 10. Get it? Server. Food. Industry. Tips. Poor.
I totally got it. It was funny.
Fuck you and your happy birthday song and your pants. Stick it up your ass.
It's just absolute. And it gets me so annoyed that now I don't even bother. I don't even bother with the commenting anymore. Now I just go and I find them and I find the thing where it says friends and I click on it. I don't unfriend people because, let's face it, I have to put on this image that I'm a nice guy and I'm trying to build a fan base. So I try to keep as many friends as possible. And I just click, do not show a news feed. And I don't see a fucking thing that they post. Dude, literally, I've got like, I don't know. I don't even know how many friends I have on Facebook. It's like between 1 and 2,000, whatever it is. I have probably clicked over 100 people. 100 people just clicking and going, don't want to watch. Don't. I don't have to watch this. I don't have to watch this. I don't have to watch this person. Just done. I don't even see their dumb fucking posts. It's fantastic, dude. It's great.
Yeah, I really don't.
You don't go on Facebook, so it doesn't matter. Because every time I log on to your Facebook, there's 18 notifications, 42 fucking friend requests, and about 8 messages for you, okay?
I do go on, but I don't have the ability to scroll, and same with Twitter. I'll find something on Facebook or Twitter and I'll post it or whatever, but I don't have the time to look at what everybody else is talking about. I don't care. I've got my own problems in my head. You know, I've got to work on those before I can work on your shit.
Yeah.
You know,
well, check this out.
But when I do see a funny one, I like it.
This is an Australian person. This is again, S Maniac in the chat. And this is from Australia. So it's the comparison. He says, I don't look into much of the U.S. politics, but over here, watching them in Parliament doing what they do, it's just childish rubbish, almost like they argue for the sake of arguing, not because they generally oppose what the other side is saying. It's really it's really embarrassing.
Right.
And it's all over the globe. I guess it really is.
It's the same thing anywhere. Any kind of organized government, that's exactly what it is.
Because it involves power and money.
You know who's got it right? North Korea.
Yeah.
they got it licked.
Saddam, you know what? They joke about it, getting Saddam out and all that, but they said, you know what? Saddam fucking ruled with an iron fist, and he knew how to fucking take care of his people.
Keep everybody in line.
Keep everybody in line. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but apparently out in the Middle East where you have some real fucking prehistoric people, some people they kind of go with that and just deal with it, you know?
Yeah, it's like the famous, I think it was Roosevelt, who was like, you know, we're gonna have a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. And the Middle East is going, what the fuck's a chicken?
Never seen. And what's a pot?
And what's a pot?
And if you have one, can I throw it out the window?
Yeah, let me just make a fire, get two sticks and one across vertically, two horizontal and a Y vertically, and I'm going to spittoon this camel hump for dinner.
You know, you're trying to put a straw into the camel's back, like a little straw in one of those fucking juicy fruit boxes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you're trying to pop it in there to get some water out of there.
As I take my nap under a heavily leaved sticker bush, because it's the only shade from here to Timbuktu.
Or I cut open a dead camel's belly and fucking sleep inside there during night when it's cold out in the desert.
Like a tauntaun?
Yeah.
I love it. Good reference.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I thought you smelled bad on the outside. That's a great reference.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I saw his little speech, and listen, he's a great speaker. But you know, listen, he's full of shit. But he's no more full of shit than, you know, and that's what drives me nuts. And I don't know who's worse, the Republicans or conservatives for the last since 2008, or the liberals between 2000 and 2008, the complaining with fucking Bush, or this hate. This spewing of hate towards this guy from people who are conservative. I don't know what is worse, but it's thoroughly annoying. You know what? I look at it like this. Look, I think that it doesn't matter who's in office. Certain things are going to be running, are going to go through the pike, down the pike, if you know what I mean. And because there are just, you know, certain factions that are running everything. And you know what? Whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter. But because you were fucking trained and you were trained to believe that your party, your guys, the people that you think are better than the other guys have the right answers. It's almost like if you're watching a comic, Kenny, who you don't really like, right? A guy, you just don't like the guy. And you're on the same show with him and you're just watching, you know, from the audience or whatever. You're barely ever going to laugh, and you're very rarely going to say, yeah, this, you know what? I don't like this guy at all, but he's hilarious. Unless you're really, really good, You know what I mean? Or if you're a rational person. Well, when it comes to politics, there is no rationality. So even if they are, like, you know what, even if the one side has something that might be pretty good, the people who, you know, root for the other side are going to look at it and go, ugh, I don't give a fuck what he puts. I'm not going with it. You know what I mean? It's childish. Like our buddy Scott in Australia said, it's childish. It's bullshit. It's just dog shit. It's just arguing for the sake of arguing, exactly. And I've had it, dude. I'm just so done with it. You know, a part of me just says, you know what? I just want a Republican in office again, just so we could shut you people up. You know, just like they shut up the liberals and then they finally got a guy in. And it's the same shit. You know, granted, things are starting to get better. Believe me, in the field that I'm in, my other job besides stand-up, you know, Kenny, you, of course, know what it is. We're on the ground floor in a sense where, you know, listen, I work for one of those companies that delivers to everybody's house.
We both of our jobs are driven by commerce.
Yeah, exactly. You know, my company is one of those companies that delivers to everybody's house and business. And we've seen it in the last year and a half or 2 years, things starting to build and companies, and this is New Jersey, you know, buildings that were empty for a long time are starting to fill up again.
Right,
and buildings are being knocked down and rebuilt newer again. These old buildings, things are starting to turn around. And you know why? Maybe because of some things that Obama's put through. I don't know. But because that's what the economy does. It's all a fucking facade. It's all based on people's emotions. I mean, it's just nonsense. Except we hit such a crash in 2007, 2008, when you had a housing market crash and a...
corrupt everything.
The housing market and the stock market, like two crashes at once, basically. So it's going to take longer. So it's not going to be the normal recession where it's 2 years and then it comes back up. It's cyclical, but it went down really far. And when you burrow really, really far down, it's going to take you longer to get back up. It's just nonsense. Right. And you know what? And if you don't like what I'm saying, you're a faggot. That's what you are. You're a fucking faggot. Because you know what? Because you can be, and you could say, hey, I prefer one side over another. I'm okay with that. But if you are actually pissed at what I'm saying, because you're like, oh, no way. Those guys are just awful. And they're the worst. You're a fucking faggot. You just listen to whatever you were fucking taught by your family or whatever news fucking thing you glommed onto, or friends that you fucking started hanging out with and they just started putting dumb shit in your head. So, you know what? If you don't like this, fuck you. But if you actually can, if you're somebody who's like into politics a little bit and go, hey, you know what? I'm more of a conservative, but I do agree. Hey, you know what, Conti? Yeah, you're right. There are some things that don't matter who's in charge. Shit is going down. If you haven't noticed, everything keeps funneling to the top. We're making it a lot easier for the big corporations to keep more of their money and for the very, very, very wealthy to keep more of their money. So if you haven't seen that, then I don't know what you're looking at. And so it doesn't matter if it's a Bush or if it's a McCain or if it's a Obama.
I really think that you calling anyone who likes Bush a faggot is really doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it? Yeah.
I'm sorry. No. I was reading something.
Sal, you were reading. Sal, come on.
I'm sorry.
At least say, I didn't hear that. I'm reading something. Don't go because you keep calling everybody a faggot.
I'm sorry.
And like Bush. And you're just like, yeah, well, sure. Yeah. What? No. This is what happens on Skype, people. We don't see each other's fancy faces. And I can usually see when he's waiting. Now I can't. So I just get the fucking lip service up.
I just want to apologize. Right. I'm sorry. But you know what? It just really annoys me. And any of our gay listeners know I don't mean faggot in that way, because I'm totally down with the gay. All right? I'm totally down with the gay. You know, I'm no homophobe. That's for sure. It's just annoying, dude. I've just had it because it's not getting any better. That's what it is. Mitt Romney. Thank you, S-Mania. It doesn't matter. So stop it thinking that your guy or your team, you know what I mean? It's like It's like, look, I love the Jets. I'm a huge Jets fan. And you know what? When I'm watching the game and they're playing the Patriots, I want them to chop fucking Tom Brady's head off. You know what I mean? But in reality, I know it's just a game. It is well said. Yeah, I was trying to type something in. I fucking suck. I'm not good enough yet. Like I watch when. And I listen, you know, because I listen to Opie and Anthony, and fucking Opie's amazing because he can fucking do like three different things and still be contributing on the fucking topic. And he's just fucking, he's one of my pals anyway. He sends me messages on Twitter sometimes. That's my buddy.
You guys are friends.
That's my buddy, Greg. Greg Hughes.
Yeah, I got ONA down here. I got XM in a rental car, which I love.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Our pal Otto was on Friday, I believe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was talking about his
brain. Yeah, he did.
You know what? Maybe we can get him to call. What do you think? He would do it?
Call tonight?
Yeah.
I want him to come in when you're here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll see.
I don't want Grouchy to fucking call.
He's probably watching you. Breaking Bad.
He's probably got
his girlfriend at gunpoint in the kitchen for no reason. Why are you doing this? I don't know. Get in the kitchen. Shut up.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
I've never held somebody at gunpoint. I just wanted to try it. You're scaring me. Shut up.
So, I've just had it. So, enough with the politics, and hopefully,
you know what's going to happen. We're going to have a big thing, and then all of a sudden they're going to go, no, we agree. Boom, done. You know, and then it's over. 99% of the entire rest of the country and rest of the world doesn't give two shits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have to go to work tomorrow. You have to go to work tomorrow. Every single person listening to the show has to go to work tomorrow and buy food and feed their babies. And that's it. The only problem is that they're canceling WIC, which is women, infants, and children, where they give
I thought it was for the food stamps.
Yeah, but it's like for specifically for babies, for you know formula or diapers and stuff like that. So that shuts down also, which is going to be a little bit shitty. But it's only going to be for a little while. If they don't come up with something by They'll avert any. There is no disaster at this point. There won't be a disaster. They'll avert any kind of inconvenience. That's all it is averting an inconvenience, and they'll figure everything out later. What they'll do is they'll pass the law. They'll sign on to it, and then they'll appeal it and talk about it later on, and we'll just do it all over again in a couple of months.
All right. Hey, you want to hear this song real quick?
Sure.
This song is fantastic, Kenny. It is a woman named Barbara Markay, and Dave Ingram sent it to me, and it's called Give Your Dick to Me. Check this out. Oh, sorry. Got to put the volume up. That would help. It kind of starts abruptly, but that's just how the song starts.
Well, usually when you're getting dick, everything is abruptly started.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give your dick to me. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When she goes, ow, that's anal.
It's like... Mm-hmm. It's a white girl, by the way.
Okay, pause it for 1 second. Pause it for 1 second.
Go ahead.
Where can we find this?
The video, there's no video for it. It's just a picture of the broad. Like it looks like the cover of the song.
Okay,
he sent it to me on YouTube. It's Barbara Markay, like Mark A-Y, M-A-R-K-A-Y, Give Your Dick to Me. It's fantastic.
I don't want to see what this broad looks like.
You know, she's not...
Barbara. Like, I'm going to give my dick to anyone named Barbara.
I give my dick to somebody named Beverly. What are you going to do?
Yeah, let me go down on a Gertrude.
But you know what? There are some, you know, like there are some names that you go, oh, that's, it can't be good. And you know, once in a while, you get lucky. You know,
I know. Yeah, I'm on. I make fun.
Barbara might be, you know, a Gertrude though. Yeah, a Gertie. I don't think Gertrude is. I don't think Gertrude stripping at centerfolds in Bloomfield, New Jersey. You know what I mean?
How about a Shawshee?
Shawshee, and next coming to the stage, Shawshee. Yeah, here she comes in her big bloomers and her fucking bathing cap. Here she comes.
And her Coney Island beach pass.
And her one piece with a skirt at the end of it.
Yeah, you ever see those pictures of the beaches back in the 20s? Spread out. You got,
I know. They were all
3,000 miles of coastline.
I know, and they were all sitting there on top of each other.
Yeah, 70,000 people on one stretch of beach. Spread out.
All right, let's listen a little more.
What was it, Barbara? What was it, Barbara?
Barbara Markay, M-A-R-K-A-Y. Give your dick to me.
I'll give your dick to me. Give it
got
me.
It.
Nice.
I'll give your dick to me.
Give it
ow. That's, I'm telling you, that's it.
Oh, yeah, right there. He's giving that extra deep dick thrust. Oh, yeah. Sounds like he's fucking a parrot.
Life is only worth living. And part of that comes in giving. Yeah, give your dick to me. I'll give your dick to me.
Give it to me. Yeah. Woohoo.
Hey,
wow.
Man, get your shit together. Don't you know that you got such people think? Ooh. And hey, man, I'm not into leather. All I wanna do is kiss you nice. I want your ring. Oh, take off your pants, take off your shirt, take off your shoes, take off your skirt.
Wow. Hold on. Pause it, brother.
Yeah, do you hear what you say?
Dave, yes, of course, Dave Ingram found a gem here because Barbara McKay, it's all right to blank all night, Dutch TV 1980. So Dave Ingram has just sent us a gem that no one in the States has.
Oh, boy.
Now, what I got to do is I got to Wikipedia this broad and see if she has a Wikipedia or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of a bio.
Or I'm guessing herpes. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah, she's been dead because she the guy that gave her dick also gave it to Freddie Mercury. Yeah. They were in Dutch. It's not the
they, yeah, then she got into some Dutch afterwards, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost over, dude. This song is not long. It's like less than 3 minutes. Like,
yeah, keep going. I'm gonna try to find her Wikipedia.
You can give your brains to science. You can give your liver to the zoo. You can use your ass like an appliance. Here, polish it up like new. Well, you give good bottom and you know it. Are you tired of all those ladies' feet? It's cause they love your great balls of fire, baby. Give your dick to me. Ow! Give your dick to me. Give it to me.
I gotta find the lyrics to this song. There we go. I got to give your dick to me.
Whoa, they've got older images of Barbara Markey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Wikipedia, that's what I just did. Is an American musician born and raised in... wait a minute. Rockville Center.
Oh, that's
really? That's where I just was. That's what I was just... Remember when I was in Rockville Center?
Oh, yeah.
Here, Barbara Markey is an American musician. She was born and raised in Long Island, New York, in Rockville Center. She was educated in piano and violin at Juilliard and the Manhattan School of Music, and graduated from Juilliard with a bachelor's degree in composition. Moving from classical music to pop, she formed a five-part female singing group, the Girl Scouts, and later a musical theater troupe, Little Lulu and the Humpers. that performed in Miami Beach in New York City. With her own band, she gained some commercial success in Europe with several singles in the top 20 charts. Two of the singles, It's All Right to Fuck All Night and Give Your Dick to Me, were heavily censored before receiving airplay. These have since been mentioned in lists of the world's worst music. In the U.S., she collaborated in various musical projects, including Carly Simon's Coming Around Again album, Michael Jackson's Bad video, and as a backup singer to Bruce Willis. Since 1994, she's been writing her own music in the world music and new age genres.
All right, dude, check it out.
Holy monkey.
When I Googled her name, right, the first two things were YouTubes, right? I Googled Barbara McKay, give your lyrics, give your dick to me lyrics, right? First two are the YouTube, right? The third thing on the list, ready for this? Delisted hot slut of the day. She calls it new age music. Let's see. Just it's fucking fantastic, dude. This is just great. She's a keeper. Barbara McKay. Well,
she looks like a Spanish teacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, let me do some images.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Look at her now. Look what she looks like now.
Yeah, dude. If that's her picture, like, she looks like that can't be her. No, she looks like a fucking social studies teacher. With the blue eyes?
And Hotbox Records.
Hotbox Records.
Give your dick to me. She's holding a sheet over her breast, laying in bed with a bucket of Asti Spumante.
Well, there's,
it's 1980.
There's
it's
a Barbara,
1980 in Dutch.
There's a Where Barbara is, Law, but that's she's pretty hot.
There's definitely, yeah, it's Shake Your Bait or something like that.
Yeah, we'll yeah, there. Yeah. But wow, that's funny, man. But that's a good tune. She's, I mean...
Can you YouTube? Can you do It's All Right to Fuck All Night?
Let's see. Same woman?
Yeah.
It's All Right?
Yep.
Okay, let's
Wow.
Here we go. Oh my God.
It's okay to suck all day. It's all right to fuck all night.
It stinks.
It's okay to suck all day.
What is this, Buster Poindexter? How you feeling? Hot, hot, hot. How you looking? Knock, knock, knock.
How you feeling? Hot, hot, hot. Everybody, they should play this at weddings instead of fucking Buster Poindexter. Everybody grab your kids and cover their ears, and everybody go around in a circle.
Conga line, get grandma.
Yeah, we're doing. It's a conga line, but it's an orgy conga line. Everybody, get around, pull your dicks out, and start shoving it in anywhere you can. Everybody, it's all right to fuck.
It's almost cake time. Get on the conga line. Look at that. I've got these blow up guitars. I'm a cool wedding DJ.
This song stinks.
It's awesome. I love it. It's time we stop all this purity jive.
Cause they are dead and we are alive. Yeah, it's all Oh God. They're dead and we're alive. It's alright to fuck all night. To suck all day. Alright, everybody, get to the dance floor. Get your honeys and put your kids out over by where we
Yeah, get the mariachi band because I sleep with all the guys in the kitchen.
Hey, everybody, put on your Tom Cruise sunglasses and get your blow-up guitars. It's fun time here at the Michael fucking Sinclair and Jody fucking Watson fucking wedding. Who cares? All right, everybody. We're going to... What we're going to do, everybody, now that the bride and groom are finally here.
You know what? You know it,
the sorry. Bride and groom are finally here. So what we want to do is play their song for their first wedding. So finally, together, as one. Mr. and Mrs. John Smith. Their first dance, everybody. Everybody join them for Give Your Dick to Me. Everybody, get, come on, Grandma, Grandpa, get on the dance floor. Have a good time with everybody. This song's okay. Ow! Well, it sounds like you already gave it to you, honey.
How can you possibly take a pic? If you're her, if you, Google Imager, how could you take, like, a picture and you're sitting in a wicker chair and she's old? You can't do it. No headshots for you. You know? You blew it. You didn't blow it. You did blow it.
Maybe
you
she's
blew
in
a lot of stuff.
She's just sitting in a dicker chair, huh?
No. But now, you know, now she's taking portraits like she's Katie Couric. And yeah. You're like, no, you you flashed your cunt around and sang about getting it in the anus.
Flash your cunt.
So, you're an idiot. So your street cred's awful. It's gone. You know what we should do? Let's take a break and look into this Barbara Law.
Barbara Law?
Yeah, she looks like
pretty
a skinny
hot from the 70s,
Keira Knightley,
yeah.
If that's possible. Wear a leg spread.
You want to take a quick break?
Yeah, I got a pee-pee. We did another hour.
Oh, okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll play a little bit the Barbara Markey Give Your Dick to Me song. And all right, shit, I didn't realize.
We might come back to this. We haven't finished yet. I just got to...
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Conti and Kenny Show. MoreLikeRadio.com.
All right.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Fresh apples.
Anyone else but me.
Fresh apples.
Anyone else but me.
No, no, no.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Fresh apples.
Till I come home to you.
You want it, you got it, sister.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Ass naked.
Anyone else but me.
Nice ding-dong.
Anyone else but me.
I'll blow you.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
Fresh apples.
I come home to you.
You want it, you got it. Fresh apples trying to hit me with her naked butt. Welcome to the Conti and Kenny Show. .com.
All right, I gotta take a leak and see what happened taking to these dive bars.
Hey, man, I can't help it. These are the best places to go, man.
Dude, did you look at this on the wall here? Did you see this?
What do you got there?
It says here, for a good time, call Mary Ann, Kitty, and Dee at 908-854-4228.
Oh, wow. What's this underneath there? Lust and Love, every Monday from 10 p.m. till 12 p.m. for a good time. Huh.
Somebody must have had a huge Sharpie.
Are you kidding, man? That's great. All right,
we'll check them out then.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Let me get out of here. Stop looking at me.
Hey, man, stop looking at my junk, bro. Bastard. Don't get envy.
All right.
Listen to the Conti and Kenny Show live Monday night, 7 to 10 p.m. on morelikeradio.com. Or take them with you anywhere by downloading the free TuneIn app and listen on the More Like Radio channel. Want to be part of the live show? Join the chat on morelikeradio.com/live.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in the More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
We're Metal Breakfast Radio. Would you like to hear such tracks like this awesomeness?
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
So, okay, how about the awesomeness extravaganza of this?
Play that fucking music, Wally boy. Play that fucking music right. Play that fucking music.
It doesn't matter, Donovan, because I like a fresh one out to this.
And now, the sound of John Denver being strangled.
www.metalbreakfastradio.com.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Are you a fan of comics? What about obscure movies and TV shows? Well then, you are in luck, because every Friday, Nerd Hour is here to talk about those completely and utterly awesome things. So join Punchy, Ariel, and now Cornax as we talk the things that people claim prevent you from getting laid, but are amazeballs anyway. The Nerd Hour, every Friday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. only on More Like Radio. Spoon!
Happiness! Happiness! The greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
If you want to get a copy of my DVD or CD, go to joeconti.com and it'll take you right to our website and you can purchase it right online. Or go to CD Baby or iTunes and get it. It's called Happiness.
It's not bad.
It's fantastic,
dude.
It's
not bad.
You have no idea. It's an hour of mundane comedy. It's fantastic. Hey, who needs Ambien? I got Ambien on a disc.
I got Ambien Viagra and Life with Happiness. Happiness. Joe Conti City.
Oh, happiness. Happiness. The greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I've been blessed with more than my share of happiness.
$20 for a DVD and CD total, including shipping.
Thank you. Good night.
You can order a
CD. Enjoy your purchase.
You can order a CD by itself, a DVD by itself.
Let me get these purchasing orders out. just buy that fucking CD.
Shut up and stop bothering us. Just keep ordering. Hit refresh and do it again.
I got more than my share of happiness.
Yeah, it's good. Just fucking buy it.
This is Dave Ingram from Metal Breakfast Radio, and you're listening to the Gnocchi and Kenya Show, or something like that. It's clearly bollocks.
My sperm, basically, they don't go to the uterus. They just sit around and pub fight.
All right.
That's hilarious.
Classic moment from the show. Kenny saying that his sperm just sit around a pub fight. That's why he doesn't have kids.
And I have no recollection of ever saying that. Like most things.
Yeah.
Great tune coming in, though.
Yeah, Black Sabbath. The phone number, of course, is 330-2-CRINGE. Call up if you want to add to the show, or just go in the chat room, morelikeradio.com/live, or you can use Skype and just dial NPN Studios for Skype. If you want to, you got a question for us, we got people in Australia listening, we got our pals in Northern Europe checking us out. We're worldwide, motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, everybody getting along in the chat room, which is nice.
Yeah, we're not into all that nonsense. You know, I mean, listen, if we have to battle somebody, you know, if somebody wants to talk shit, it's kind of like the way we are on stage. We don't attack the audience, but if somebody wants to fuck with me, I'll fucking stab them fucking 30 times and throw them out of the fucking club. Verbally, a verbal assault. Not physical. I would never do that. So,
You know what? Having that that opening song. Do you still have YouTube on?
Yeah.
Throw on a little bit of Sweet Leaf. And this is, you know, as a comic, I was never a Black Sabbath fan.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just got great beginnings of songs. Great beginnings, and you know, we'll do it real quick, and then we'll move on
to
more. I Like Dick at Night, or whatever that song was.
Here we go.
How great is that as an opening song to come to at the stand-up show?
Oh, it's just great. I mean,
that's my go-to one.
Yeah, it's. And it's like, you know, the cough in the beginning, because it's all about pot. I mean, it's just great. Yeah. I didn't know this song was about pot until after I got out of high school.
Oh, really? Because you started to discover women and illegal drugs.
No, I don't know. I was with, I'll never forget it. I was with a friend of mine, this kid John, and it came on, and I thought it was like about a girl, you know? And I don't know, I never thought of it, you know?
Like sweet tits or something like
that?
Yeah,
you know, like Sweet Leaf, and it was a metaphor for a, you know, maybe a flaky chick. Hey, I don't know. And then he was like, dude, no, it's about pot, you idiot. Leaf, Sweet Leaf. And he talks about finding pot and then never wanting to, you know, leave.
You know, yeah, like baseball players have their songs when they get up to bat and whatnot. Uh-huh. And, this one, I discovered this one. I'm like, oh, when it comes on, and I'm like, it's only been a few times, maybe three times in my stand-up career that I've entered into that song. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, yeah, all right, here we go.
You know what I like to enter on sometimes? Especially if I have like, I'll play it for you real quick. Oh, wait a minute.
It's Everybody Hurts from REO.
No.
R.E.M., I mean.
R.E.O.
It's R.E.O. Speedwagon.
For you, it's R.E.O. Shitwagon, you fucking idiot. Video. And this is a song, if they have it, I like to come out to. Or if it's like Dio or something.
Evanescence?
No. It's just such a great intro, but it's also, but there's a corny reason for it too. It's Godsmack, right?
Godsmack, yeah.
And it's I Stand Alone. Get it? Because I'm a stand-up comic and I'm up there by myself. But I love that. Like, just picture, you know, it's just like, and now coming to the stage, a man who will hardly make you laugh and make you cry and make you wish that you were home sleeping. Give it up for Joe Conte.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hold
this
on.
Let's
see. Man, you don't know the song well. I'll let you try to hit the post and go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a good friend of mine. He's traveled all over the country doing stand-up mediocrely, and today he will lay everything flat. He's been all over the country as the CB Happiness. Please give it up for Mr. Joe Conte.
He'll lay everything flat. He's like a carpenter. He lays everything flat.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome this next comedian. He's going to ruin your beefsteak. Hopefully you have enough beer in your gullets that you will not pay attention to his menial jabber.
Are you ready for this? And now, next man coming to the stage. Very, very funny. And I do want to apologize to anybody who actually paid for this fundraiser up front. This man will definitely make you wish that you had a twin that you can sit in your spot and you can go and do something else. Give it up for Joe Conte.
Ready? I got another one.
And go.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up to the stage, a mediocrely funny man. Unfortunately, you paid for a babysitter tonight to pay for your other kid's bullshit. There's no food here. There's just chips on the table and the beer is warm. But please welcome the funny stylings, mediocrity in its best, Joe Conte.
I love that when they do that sometimes. And now the comedy stylings of Joe Conte. He's a Jersey boy. He's got a tattoo of a turnpike signal on his left arm. And he has another tattoo of Sandy on his right arm. But his girlfriend's named Beverly. He's all about Jersey. Give it up for the very, very unfunny Joe Conte.
It's not actually the name Sandy. It's a Doppler radar vision of the Superstorm Sandy.
Jesus, that's so funny.
But you know, most of those times at those shows, they're like, we have 50-50s, beer, cold soda.
Oh, yeah, it's the fucking
now
worst.
These guys should be funny.
And that's the usual. That's like what happens is if you're like hosting the show and they don't, and you're like, hey, is there anybody that could bring us up? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they always do something terrible. Like,
it's like the head of the Shriners.
Yeah, it's like somebody comes up, he's nervous. He's like, hey, everybody, before we do the show, we just want to do a moment of silence for one of Barry Garrett's kids died of cancer the other day. So it's a really, really sad moment. So and that's what this whole thing's about. This is all about him. So everybody, put your head down. And
so let's watch this short film.
And now, yeah, let's watch. All right, everybody. We all know that this is all about Barry Garrett's kid who died of cancer at the age of 7. So we're going to check out this little montage of great pictures of him as a little boy. All right? Because that's what this whole thing's about. It's a night of comedy. So, all right, everybody grab some tissues, clean your eyes. And now it's the comedy. Joe Conte, take care. Fucking assholes. I hate when they fucking do that. So stupid. They get all, and we, you know, we understand it's an emotional thing. It's like, but this is supposed to be like a celebration, you know? Like,
yeah, let's have the candlelight vigil after we get the check. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that happened to you guys, right?
Oh man, it was awful. Well, you want me to tell the story?
Yeah,
I've told it before, but not in a long time.
Man, we got no. What do I got to do? Nothing.
I got nothing.
Yes, so it's me, Otto and George, Chips Cooney, Jeff Norris, and we're at the VFW or something like that in Clark, New Jersey, and it's huge. I mean, 500 people. 500 people in there, jam-packed, cops, firemen, family members. What we were told was that it is a show for a 25-year-old kid. Now, they told us that he went into a burning house and tried to save a baby. And then as he was leaving, didn't make it out of the fire. He was trying to save a baby. So
what happened was
Jared lost a kid.
No, what happened was he was trying to rescue the baby and the baby ended up dying. I wasn't there, but from what you gathered, you were like, all right, so this is a benefit for the kid's family or something right?
It was the family. It was now the fireman had died. He tried to go and save this baby, but we were told that the fireman died, the kid. So I was talking with his sister, his mother, his father, the whole thing, having the whole big thing, you know, hey, this is a great cause. And it was absolutely brilliant. So Chips goes up there and does his fake magic and kills. I go up there and I do a great job. Jeff Norris goes up there. And we've got Otto and George headlining, who is a, triple X ventriloquist.
Right.
And a lot of his jokes are geared towards suicide and whatnot.
Well, what he does is he does certain things where the puppet will tell
the crowd
Otto,
members, kill yourself.
No, or usually, like, this is a little bit of it. It's like, he'll tell George, he'll tell Otto, the guy who's working his head, to kill himself. You know, he'll do a lot of that. He'll do
nice lesbian, big tits, evaporated milk, lick that snatch, sandpaper tongue, dirty whore cunt.
He does shit like that. He's very dirty. So what happened was, in the midst of all this, a lot of times, because the puppet berates Otto, right? And, it's like, God, he tells him his lips move. He's just constantly berating him along with everybody else. And at some point, he'll always say, why don't you just do yourself a favor? Go to Home Depot, go to aisle 7, get some rope, hang yourself, get a chair and hang yourself. And then videotape it so I can watch it later. And then sometimes he says, look, why don't you just go in there? Don't even buy the stuff. Just grab the stuff from the different parts of the Home Depot and just go into aisle 7 and just fucking kill yourself. So you don't even have to buy the shit. It's hilarious. It's so right. Funny. But
funny ahead. In that context. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in the back now. Now I get off stage and I take a piss next to like one of the police chiefs. And on stage, I told him that it looked like Sasquatch fucked a walrus because he was hairy from like the neck up, bald head, and a big handlebar mustache. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the night was going well because I'm taking a piss and he doesn't know I'm next to him and he's talking to another guy to the left of him and he goes, that motherfucker said I fucked a walrus. This is the police chief. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, show's going good.
Yeah, exactly.
I just fuck with the police. So I'm all the way in the back. Literally, the VFW is 50 yards wide. I'm all the way in the back, and Otto's doing this joke, and he's killing. The place is exploding. He does one joke about go kill yourself, and the place fucking shuts down. Absolutely just shuts down. Not a fucking murmur, a peep, a glass jingling, nothing. Exactly. So I say, I've heard him tell that fucking, I've heard him say that line 9,000 times. It erupts. There's no reason why that should work. So I'm back at the table. I'm with like the lieutenants and whatnot and the family members. And I pull one aside. And actually before that, I went out and smoked a cigarette. And I heard woman say like, I can't believe he said that. So now people are starting to leave the comedy show to go outside and smoke and start going crazy. So I go to the captain and I got lieutenants and whatnot. And I said, to be honest, guys, how did this guy, Greg, die? And he goes, well, he was in a house. Didn't save the baby. The baby died a couple of weeks later. Offs himself. I said, oh, shit. Holy shit. So now Otto is still on stage doing suicide jokes. And I couldn't get his attention. I was too far.
Why don't you kill yourself?
Why don't you grab some rope, go to Home Depot, hang yourself in aisle 7. Oh, yeah, he's killing, literally.
Exactly. It was absolutely one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever gone through. So finally, Otto gets off stage, and he goes, I don't know what the fuck happened. So I go, Otto, listen, they didn't tell us, but the guy fucking offed himself. And he goes, oh, I thought Otto was going to kill himself. He's like, why didn't anybody fucking tell me? So the rest of us are walking around. Like, now we are like the pariahs. You know what I mean? We're the leprosy crew.
Now you're just trying to make up for it, yeah.
They totally forgot about any of our sets that we did well. The place was exploding. They totally forgot about it. So finally, I had to have the family, and I had to pull them aside and go, listen, we didn't know. We had no idea. We've never said that. No, it's no problem. We had a great time. So we actually had to walk through each individual person and go, we didn't know he killed himself. We didn't know. We're just making jokes. We're just a couple of clowns up on stage. We didn't know he killed himself. I hope you like the beefsteak. Good night. Have a good time. Enjoy.
I know, dude. Just bad.
Yeah. It was a tough one, man. That was one of the toughest 15, 20, 30 minutes of my career, of just because I'm in the back and I got to do damage control because my pal is still up there, you know? And now you've got 400 or 500 people just ready to slit his throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's making suicide. No one told us. They didn't tell us how he died. You know, we wouldn't have done any of that. And it was incredible. And then finally the family was, you know, I still talk to the sister to this day. She's still a friend of mine.
Oh, that's just brutal, dude. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. So anybody out there who's never done stand up, just think of that gig.
I know.
Enjoy. And you won't make much money for a long time.
And then when you start making money, it's very, very mediocre money, by the way. They basically, right now, you know, in like regular clubs, the fucking feature work and host work, the money is basically the same as it was in the fucking 80s. It's amazing.
It's totally dropped. Remember back about, I would say about 7 years ago, I was making a couple of bucks. You know, you'd make a few dollars on shows, and now it's just nothing. Now you're just a fucking valet parking attendant.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's well said.
That's terrible.
That's what the audience was saying to you and Otto.
That's terrible. Yeah.
And it was also, thank you, good night, I'm Joe Conti.
Or
thank you very much. I'm Kenny Michaels. Enjoy the rest of your night.
That's terrible.
That's the worst joke I've ever heard.
I love that. Fucking no, dude, nobody else has Jack fucking Benny as a sound effect saying that's the worst joke I ever heard. Fuck you, everybody. Fuck you. Fucking done with everybody.
You mean this was all a joke?
That's right. A great big joke.
We've got in the chat room, Footer is trying to call in.
Yeah, tell Footer to call in.
He said it went to voice message.
Tell him to try to call in
again. And then Stuart asked, what do you make per show? Best money I ever made. I did 7 minutes. I made $1,500. Normally, what you make is probably about 50, 75, 125, 150. You make over $200. It's a great weekend. Back in the day, it was different.
It all depends on, you know, what type of a show it is. If it's a club and it's just like a weekend thing, you know, as a feature, you'll make any, you know, a headliner usually get like a door deal. Try to call in again, Footer. I'm trying to see if I can, you know, headliner, they get door deals. Fucking host, you get anywhere from $75 to $100. And like a feature, it's like, depending on how many shows you do, you can get $1.50 a show, you know.
And what a lot of guys that are asking probably is, you know, guys, you know, they're different from me and you, but the guys that do the show like the Gaffneys and stuff, they'll go around and do 6, 7, 8, 9 shows a night for $40 a spot, you know. Footer says Grinch humor, then beep.
What the fuck? I'm
I'm trying to the Skype thing. Trying to see.
Stuart says, so the money is about 1/7 as it was 20 years ago. That's a shitload of fuck. Yeah.
It's a shitty ass business. The best part about stand up is the performance. Being able to stand up, you know, being a stand up. It's great. The performance is fucking awesome.
If you're doing it for the money, don't even think
you
can.
I will argue this. You don't want to start doing it for the money,
right?
You want to do it because you want to do it. But then you want it, you start. You know, listen. When you're doing this shit for a long time, you want to make. You would love to make money, and when you first start making a couple of bucks, you're like, this is awesome. Somebody just gave me $40 to stand up here for 7 minutes and be a douche. You know what I mean? And tell some jokes or whatnot. So it
The first time you ever get paid is brilliant. And I'm not talking about passing the hat around. You know, a lot of times we would when I first started, we would do shows. Remember down in Belmar and whatnot, down the Jersey Shore, little coffee houses. You'd do a show, and they basically would pass a hat around, and you would split it up between the people. You get $4 or $5, and that would pay your tolls. But when someone called you and said, "Hey, I got a show for you," it only pays about $50, but it's at this club or this place, and you're like, "Yeah." So you go there, and then somebody hands you an envelope with cash in it. Afterwards, and you're like, I just had a blast, a completely nerve-wracking, awesome, exhilarating blast, and I'm getting paid for it.
Right.
And you're like, fuck this. That's why we've been doing it for fucking 12 years, because it's a compulsion. Because not because of the money. It's just the money is the icing on the cake. You know what I mean? The rest of it is you know, to get paid to speak. You know, you're not building a building. Unfortunately, we don't have skills to be an architect and make a bridge. We have to do is pull shit out of our ass and speak to people and try to connect. And hopefully they reward us with a few dollars.
Absolutely. I'm going to try something real quick. Don't go anywhere, Footer. I'm trying something real quick. I'm trying to see if I can get the other Skype up and maybe I can have them call in on the other. If there's another Skype here, but it doesn't seem to be. I just don't get it. I got the.
It said three times it rang. The answer machine says Grinch Humor Radio.
Makes no sense. Maybe that's why nobody calls us. But you call the Skype, dude. You call in, right?
No.
I want to fucking talk to Footer. I've never actually fucking. We've never actually verbally spoken to each other. And I think fucking Footer's a good dude. He's got a good show, and he's got a fucking phenomenal voice, dude. Him and Mersh are like identical. They have the identical voices. It's except when Footer speaks, it's not all about abortions. That's the difference. I love making fun of Mersh, you piece of shit.
What's the number again?
It's 330 2 cringe. So it's 330 227 4643. I just don't understand.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Just Skype in. They can Skype in. We do it on Lust and Love.
Yeah, I mean, if he can Skype in.
Lust and Love, 10 o'clock tonight. I'll be popping in with the ladies
from Lust and Love. The ladies from Lust and Love.
And also, whatchamacallit?
What?
Doc Fox. He'll be there. I think. I'm not sure. It just could be me and the ladies, which is always good. It always works out very well.
Does it?
Yeah. We talk about all kinds of stuff that just kind of.
All right, whatever you're doing, it's making things annoyingly loud.
What's it doing? I went too close to the microphone. Oh,
you
sorry.
Fuck.
Yeah, I was trying to do Barry White. And I went. I've been keeping my distance the whole show. And then I tried to, like, eat the microphone.
Yeah, but don't do that.
No.
I just don't understand it. We can't get phone calls, I guess. And Footer's not a retard. Like, I know he's not got a half a brain. I know. You know what I mean? He's not a complete fucking idiot. I mean, he is for fucking doing this with us. You know, like, why would you want to get into this fucking crazy business?
But still, damn it.
Yeah, White Ass Brent said, Kenny was super banged up last time he was on Lust and Love. You're absolutely right.
Colorado Dickhead asked, when Kenny had that money, was he feeling the heat? listen to the episode of The Heat Is On and go to about 90 minutes in. I'll even save you the fucking trip of listening to the whole show. Go back three episodes. It's called The Heat Is On. Go to about 90 minutes and fucking listen. And Kenny gets fucking destroyed for a good 10 minutes. And it was beautiful. I can't believe he's trying to call in. And we're just coming to a complete halt
here. See, Pickle's trying there. Yeah, he's also trying to get through.
All right. Well, we tried. See, Pickle said he just got through. Did he? See, Pickle. Did I just say that? Did I just say See, Pickle?
Yeah. You know what a sea pickle is?
What?
It's a dangerous little sea urchin that I believe that it almost looks like a they almost like they boil in the bottom of the ocean by like the super vents, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And they look like kind of whatchamacallit? Sea pickle just asked, who's Colorado Dickhead? Colorado Dickhead is one of our best pals. He's a really cool dude.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
You know, it's both chat rooms are going back and forth because people are in one and in
the other. Well, because we only promote the More Like Radio chat room, so that's the chat room where everybody goes in. But we have our old chat room where only like three or four of our old regulars from before we came on More Like Radio go in, and they know where it is, and nobody else pretty much goes in there. So, you know, that's. Explains.
All right, well, let's try to get them on the air. If not, we'll, I guess
they'll... All right, well, let the girls know. If they want to call in, they can call in. Try to call in.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on over there?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. All right. I leaned in to type.
Okay.
Stay back.
All right. So
this fucking... Yeah, Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey were looking for fucking extraterrestrials with this fucking microphone. Seriously. It really is. It's very. I mean, it's awesome. It's really awesome. It looks like Johnny Carson's microphone, but it really is sensitive. If I move in too fast, or
right.
try to do a voice or something like mm-hmm. that, it gets all messed. Oh, just to let you know,
yeah,
I will tell everybody on the air. I ordered a megaphone.
Oh, you did?
Uh huh.
Finally, Kenny is finally gonna be. The superstar that I want him to be. See, I've been wanting Kenny to get a megaphone for like a long time to just, because listen, if you really want to get down to it, even though, you know, I kind of run this shit, but Kenny is the fucking star. I make Kenny the star of this show. People listen to this show to listen to Kenny. So, I've been telling him,
no.
What do you mean?
I guarantee you, anybody in Australia or fucking Copenhagen would be completely different.
All right, let's see. We got Lust and Love Radio on the phone. Hello?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Marianne?
How are you? It's good. Just me alone. I just want to test out your phones because everyone's saying it's not working, but it's working.
All right. Well, listen, why don't you just sit right there on the rotisserie while me and Kenny take care of business.
Okay.
On a computer screen. I'm looking at this is what this world's become. Like, I'm looking at a picture, a cropped picture that says Lust and Love, and every time this robot speaks, it blinks. Like, this is what it's become. It's almost like she's a fucking robot. Because,
hello, sir.
Yeah, exactly. It's blinking now. The square around it blinks every time she speaks.
It's
like,
high five.
Yeah, it's like fucking...
It's a high five.
Yeah, it's fucking 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea or HAL. It's fucking, it's all coming to fruition. So basically me and Kenny are listening to her, looking at a picture, seeing it blink and going, all right, you take the mouth, I'll take the vagina. It's like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
That's so hot.
Oh, man. So what's going on, Marianne?
Oh, not much.
You guys doing a show tonight?
Yes. I don't have to work in the morning, so yay.
Oh, okay. So you got a new job, right?
I do.
Are you still in the medical field?
I am. Now I have two jobs.
You got two jobs now.
I do. But hopefully the second job will turn into a full-time position so I can quit my other job.
Oh, wow. So, like, what do you now? Are you, like, can you describe a little bit of what you're doing now?
Prostate exams?
It's urodynamic testing.
Oh, pee-pee holes.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Catheters and a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Old guys.
Every dude.
No, it's all women. I'd be testing women to find out.
Women have women use catheters?
Well, it's a test that I'll be using catheters for.
Catheters, if anyone out there doesn't know, it's basically when your car runs out of gas in 1974 right. And you get a plastic tube and stick it into the Buick of your neighbor and then suck out the gas.
Yeah,
and
before
it
hits you in the mouth,
can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'll have to spit out a little bit of the gas that hits your mouth, and then you get about a gallon or two of gas, and then you go fill your car up. That's what a catheter is.
But putting a catheter in a woman, that's like putting a coffee stirrer into a big gulp. I mean, it just doesn't... It just seems like it's kind of like, what are you going to how are you going to find the spot?
No, putting a catheter in is like putting a regular size straw inside of a stirrer straw.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, because
I've catheterized many people, so it's really not that bad.
What are you, like a serial catheter?
It's just that.
Just walk around and catheterize
it's a lot
people.
Of what nursing. Does.
You know what you should do? What you should do is get some sort of a roofie or something. Go out to bars, catheterize people, and just put the tube right in their shoe. So they wake up, and they haven't been violated, but their feet are wet.
You think?
Nothing? Joe's typing. He would have laughed at that, but he's typing.
Sorry.
I was typing, too.
I'm trying to get this kind of thing to work.
I was just telling... Dak Fox to call in. I can't even do my boss.
I'm trying to get Footer. Footer's been trying to call in for like 15 minutes. And I wanted to talk to Footer. Because I always knew Footer from the O&A show. Because he was like one of their regular guys that would either call in or use the instant messenger at the time.
You know, he might not have the equipment for Skype. You know what I mean?
No, he said he tried to Skype in.
I love Foota.
Foota. So now, what's going on your show tonight? You got anything special going on? I'm sure you guys are talking about Breaking Bad, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So call in, Joe.
That was Kenny, you weirdo.
Yeah, but, I know that, but I'm telling Joe to call in to talk about Breaking Bad because we're not going to have a Divas.
All right, so I'll just listen. I won't even call in.
Oh, look, you hurt Kenny's feelings, Marianne.
Oh my!
You know what you do, Marianne? Marianne, listen. What you do is tell Kenny to call in because we're gonna talk about the Honeymooners final episode. Okay, you'll make Kenny feel a lot better, or maybe the Three Stooges via the 1960s circa, and so Kenny feels more, you know, part of the, part of the group. Because this hasn't watched a modern television show in I don't know how long.
It's the last couple times that I've called in, I haven't had anything to do on the Tuesday, like the next day. So, and it's funny, after the show, Marianne and everybody will hang out a little bit just for a second or whatever. And you're like, all right, I'll see you later. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And then would you stop apologizing? It's like, 45 minutes before the show ends, I'm sorry, that was stupid. Anything I said... Because I was getting hammered, but tonight I'm not. I'm gonna play it safe. Joe's typing again. Both of you are both typing again.
It's weird. Kenny figures he would get away from the reality of people just dismissing him in real life, but yeah. He's getting it on the show also.
No, but I'm not saying anything that bad. If I said anything bad, then I got no response. I knew it would bomb. But right. I didn't make a joke. I just said I will be better.
Nobody gave a shit.
And
nobody cared. Nobody gave a fuck. Kenny's going to be better.
As soon as I started talking, you guys did something different.
We did. We did. We finally stopped listening to you.
Ooh. We have officially learned how to block out Kenny like it's one of our kids.
Hey, did Mark Out Radio try to call?
They should be trying to call you to add them.
I just added them.
So Mark out, pop up. Pop up, Jimmy.
Pop up.
Mark out just popped up.
Way too much.
Oh, I think we got it. Hello.
Hello, sirs.
There's my sweetheart.
Who's that, Dog Fox?
I think Kenny's been hanging around talking to Marianne way too much because he can't even say Marco without doing it. That
I know. She got me on that one.
Terrible.
No, when you travel around the country, you're like, y'all going to get something over there to eat? And I'm like, what did I just say? And then talking to Marianne, I'm like, walk, doc, radio, walk out.
It could be worse. In your country, you could make it much worse. You could always just talk with an Iranian accent.
Well, the problem is that I just conform to whatever's going around me, so I really am just a useless nothing.
He is a fuck. You are a mush of a chameleon. You know that, right? You're a chameleon with a slug fucking texture. That's what you are. You just fucking just you just yeah. You just conform to your whatever you're at.
But I conform to wherever I'm at until I sober up, and then I'm like, I'm a Marine.
Yeah, you're a Marine. You're drunk in your fucking Three Stooges fucking pants, pissing into a fucking window. You're not a Marine anymore. There has to be a statute of limitations for you with being a Marine. There has to be. There has to be a point where you go, you know what? I was a Marine. Now I'm just a drunk. There has to be a point.
I call bullshit on that, Conti, because I still see some 80-year-old men going, I was a Marine.
No, but they might say they were a Marine, but Kenny is like, I am a trained killer, and I am a Marine.
When they say Semper Fi to each other, then you know the douchebag alarm is going to go off real soon.
Semper Fi, yeah, exactly. And I don't mind any of that, but it's just hilarious because Kenny is to a point now where he's like, dude, you're a mushbag. You are not a Marine anymore. You're just done. You know, you did a good job, but you finished. Even the old guys, some of those old guys, like, they still live that Marine life thing. You know what I mean? In their head, they're like, they're a Marine like all day. And I respect that, and that's okay. But Kenny's a drunk wannabe comedian who does a radio show once a week serving in the restaurant business. He is not a Marine anymore.
When people find out I'm a Marine, they're like, what?
He's not a Marine anymore?
I think that he's done.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
I think they use the same rationale as kid touchers use. Once a kid toucher, always a kid toucher. Well,
and that's so fucking true. There is nothing that will take that away. Because if you're a kid toucher, you always will be.
Yeah, by the way, job on Less Than Love is to just say the most horrible fucking shit and just let Marianne act scandalized.
Yeah.
One of my Marine gunnery sergeants said, you could build a million bridges, but you suck one dick and you're a cocksucker for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. You know, you're a kid toucher once and that's it. You're just a kid toucher.
Fox, that's funny, brother. That's funny.
That's just the way it is. In fact, that's to me, that's who you are. That's
yeah, but you know, no, I still practice my moves naked in the mirror when I'm in hotel.
Do you really?
Are we still talking about kid touching?
No.
Oh, we're talking about.
Yes. I pretend that I'm driving and I throw candy out the window, and then.
You got a pretty mouth, boy.
See what happens. That was a funny. That they're both typing now.
I'm sorry. Sea pickle in the chat.
Son of a bitch. It wasn't bad.
This is why the chat room show is both a blessing and a curse.
Yes.
This is what happens all the time to us on Less Than Love as we get distracted with the horrible shit that the listeners of my shows on Wednesday put in the chat room to just disgust and freak out.
Well, that's what we're taking care of that on this end. In a few months, we're going to have somebody who's going to be our... going to be our mediator, I think. He's going to be the guy that's going to be sitting in the chat. And so I don't have, like right now, I'm in the studio by myself and Kenny is in Houston. So I'm trying to, and I don't know how you guys do this all the time. I just went into the chat because, you know, I was trying to talk to Footer and I'm kind of glued in the chat. Now I'm sitting there going, Sea Pickle says it takes 4 years to become a Marine, but a lifetime of stamina to be a drunk. And I think that it's fucking entertaining, so I want to fucking read that shit. And meanwhile, I'm ignoring Kenny and his diatribe about, you know, doing a comedy show with a guy killed himself and they're doing suicide jokes. So it just becomes this this weird thing. But yeah, it's like, you know, you just need that one person to be that. And then everybody else, it's almost like the chat room for us becomes our phone. We have to keep looking at it no matter what. Even though we just checked our Facebook, we got to pick it up and look at it. And if we can just learn to not do that, then there won't be moments of, you know, Doc Fox fucking hanging there waiting for another one of the Flying Menendez brothers to fucking pick him up off the rafters so they can finish their fucking swing thing on the...
What are you talking about? Sorry, I was typing.
Yeah, sure you were. You don't know how to type, stupid.
No, I heard everything. I apologize.
So what's going on the show tonight besides a little Breaking Bad? What else you guys got going on? Anything sexy?
Honestly, I have no freaking idea because... Kitty does the show prep for Lost in Love.
Oh, and you're not going to talk to her until the show starts.
I don't even know if she's doing the show tonight. It's kind of up in the air. So now that's what I was doing just now was scattering for show prep.
Oh, why is she not doing a show? Like immigration or something? What's going on?
Yeah, they're coming to the host tonight.
did her kids fucking form a revolt and said they wanted to at least have network TV in the house?
Her husband watches the kids, and she's not sure her husband will be home in time.
Oh, okay.
Sea Pickle just put in the chat room, I hope Kenny will reenact the suicide story. That's really hurtful. I'm such a good guy. That really pains me.
Sea Pickle made my night. I don't think I've ever said anything remotely like that in my entire life, that Sea Pickle made my night.
I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm just saying stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Jeez. Like, come on.
Whatever. So what? Anything else going on with you guys? Marianne's got the new job. What about you, Doc Fox? Any new kids popping out? I know you got a couple kids.
No. Well, I got one kid. It's prepping for birthday time, which is fantastic. I never feel more gay than when I buy a Cookie Monster birthday cake alone in a grocery store.
And isn't it weird whenever you're doing something that in that vein could be construed as creepy, even though it's not, you're buying a cake for your son. So, you know, you may feel a little goofy about it, but it's like weird when you're in that kind of situation, you never want to be too nice to a kid. Like, we were out to eat the other night, and there was a kid, like a one-year-old, like over the grandmother's shoulder, and the kid's just looking at me, and he's kind of goofing and smiling, and I'm sitting there going, boo, and then I'm stopping going, you know what, I should just stop, because at some point, somebody's going to be like, hey, you know, cut that out. What are you, some sort of, you just never know when you're going to feel like a creep. Where
sexy eyes at my toddler.
Yeah, exactly. Like, stop staring at my kid. And it's like, fucking nosy. Couldn't keep his fucking face out of grandma's tit. He had to look over her shoulder and look at me, you know? So you feel weird where you don't want to be too nice to a kid, or especially if they're a little older. You see, like, a three-year-old, and you're like, hey, how you doing, kid? And then, you know, like, it's the 30s, and I got a derby on. Like, hey, how you doing there, kitty? You know, it's like, it's a weird thing.
Yes, here's two bits for you. Go get an egg cream or something. Have a good time. Stay away from strangers, kid. A couple of years, you won't be able to get away from them. We didn't even make vans yet, but when vans come out, just watch out.
Hey, kid.
Right now, we just have Model Ts. It's all windows, and we can see whatever's going on inside.
You know why there was no, you know, like child abduction back then? Because they would kidnap a kid and then go to the car and make the kid go crank the car up in the front, and then the kid would just take off. So I think that's the only reason why they never had that.
And that dead air is brought to you by 1923 Humor.
And modern day typing in the chat rooms.
Talk to the Lindbergh baby about your theory.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. My theory didn't work too well.
It's not bad enough that you bomb. It's that we have to point it out. That's what makes it worse.
Believe me.
It's fun.
I thought it was going to be a fucking gem. That's how good my fucking my judgment is. I thought it was, as I was saying it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a gem. And this is just going to come out great. And there couldn't have been more silence. You guys couldn't have, you could have played sound effects of silence, and it wouldn't have been that fucking silent as it was when I said that fucking joke.
Sorry, I was typing.
Right, yeah. And even me trying to recover by making jokes about how bad my joke is, I'm not getting any fucking thing from the joke about how bad my joke is. Now I'm doing a joke about telling a joke about a joke that bombed, and it's still not working, okay?
Yeah, you're on like four levels.
This is like Inception for bad jokes. I still get nothing on a fucking Inception reference.
Well, now you know what it's like to be Dane Cook.
Look at him.
What's your show number?
330-227-4643.
Right. I'm going to call it just because.
Just because?
Yeah.
Is that a woman speaking? I'm calling it just because. Let's see.
What? Am I ringing to you?
I don't see anything yet.
Footer in the chat room.
Call has been lost. Okay.
Call has been lost.
It's because I'm in the dungeon.
Oh, okay.
Footer said, deserved more. Not terrible. Not a gem.
Yeah. I definitely know what. I knew it was not a gem, but I didn't think it was terrible.
Oh, that was Footer called.
What the fuck?
Sea Pickle just told, hey, Foots, I got the LA Confidential and some hash oil. What the fuck does that mean? He's got Kevin Spacey and remember LA Confidential, the movie? I forget it. Yeah.
Now, how's it feel, buddy?
No. I was just reading.
Okay. Me and you we're doing a show, and me and you are drowning, and Dark Fox and Marianne are sitting in the lifeboat going, you know what, should we just fucking paddle off and leave these two fucking drowning in the water?
Look around for a weight to throw you to be
honest. nice lead-in. Nice lead-in.
What a great lead-in for you guys.
I got to take a piss, and I haven't listened to anything that Joe said just to get back at him for the last hour.
Excuse me. Sorry. That was really bad. You just did a joke and I yawned. I fucking yawned at your joke. I didn't even mean to. I'm sorry.
You guys are bad.
Yeah. You couldn't turn the mic off. You cough, you fart, the whole thing. You turn the mic off. But I talk and then you yawn. I can see something happening here.
You think so?
Yeah, I can see something happening.
And fuck you, Joe Conte.
All right, hold on. I just found this. White-ass Brent sent me this, and I figured I'd play it since I got Marianne on the phone. This is Marianne very upset at me, ripping into me. It's very quick, and I'll play it real quick, and go.
And fuck you, Joe Conte, for pointing out everyone talks on the side of their mouth like this, because now all they look are stroke mouths all over the place.
What's the matter? Now you're looking to see if they're talking like this, eh?
Deb always talks out of the side of her mouth.
They do.
Oh, my. Weird. They do. There's more than just Deb. There's a few of them. I'm like, they all talk out of the side. Is that, like, part of the show?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that was how they got casted. That was one of the things you had to talk out of the side.
Side mouth talking is a must.
Yeah.
That was Marianne from her show pissed at me because I explained to her that every woman on Dexter speaks out the side of their mouth like they had a stroke. And once you notice it, you can't not look at it and see it.
It's not a James Cagney film, is it?
And do you think purposely made Deb have a stroke at the end?
I'm telling you how that would have been great. Like, hey, listen, you know what? You've been speaking like you've had a stroke for 8 years. We're giving it to you. Like, that's, I thought that would have been great. That would have made a great ending, you know?
She has a stroke and she talks normal.
Yeah, exactly. And they've made her eat something that had calories in it and actually made her hit the 3-digit mark in the fucking weight department. Fucking skank. So fucking skinny. Jesus.
I was telling Joe about this probably last week. I was watching 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was watching a James Cagney film, and it was Public Enemy. And literally, you can take the entire
2 hours of The Public Enemy or any James Cagney film, and you can just pick it apart and have the most amazing sound bites of all time. Where it's just like, ah, kid, what are you doing there? What are you say? What are you hear? What are you say?
Kenny, yes. You are like the oldest man ever.
Kenny is an old soul. Yep.
Really?
He's an old soul. He's
30. I've been told that since I was 10 years old.
Yeah. Like Kenny was 20 years old asking girls if they want to go steady. And it was like, dude, it's 1996. The fuck are you talking about?
I tried to get progressive when in my mid-20s, and I was like, you want to wear my pins?
All right. We got to get the hell out of here. Marianne and Dark Fox, I thank you guys for calling in. Your show is next, which is Lust and Love on More Like Radio from 10 to midnight every Monday night right after we depart. And
just real quick, Marianne, it's just you and Dark Fox tonight?
Yes, and Kitty said later on she's going to try to Skype in if she can.
Okay. Once the show ends, give me a couple minutes and I'll be there.
Sure.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, okay, you guys.
It's all right with you. Okay. If not, then just go screw and go scratch. If you don't want me on your show, then we'll do something else.
Okay. Thanks, dude. All right, guys. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. I just got to read these dumb plugs. All right. See you later.
Bye.
All right. Kenny, I think it was a good show tonight.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was fun.
Ended up with a little Marianne and Doc Fox and finished up.
Sure, we always end because, you know, we're the lead into them and they're a great show.
Yep.
We've got, you know, a bunch of people in the chat room. Everybody's hanging out.
Yep. All right, let me do this real quick. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter accounts are at CNK Show. Mine is at Joe Conti Comic. Yours is at Kenny Michaels 5. Follow us on, be our friend on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast for both shows, this one and Shorts. You can go to ContiandKenny.com to get all the information for that. And some friends of the show, Dave. I'm doing a show Friday night, October 4th, opening up for the great Jackie Martling at the new Comedy Shop in Hazlitt, New Jersey, or Keyport, New Jersey, at Park East. So go to JJComedy.com and get your tickets.
Good club.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm only doing like a 20-minute spot, but I'm going to open up the show and then bring up Jackie. It'll be a fun night.
You're going to do your thing.
Do my thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some shows that we are friends with, some podcasts, Metal Breakfast Radio, of course, our pal Dave Ingram and Donovan Spensley, Unlearn with Rich and Tony, the I Don't Know Joe show with Joe Fernandez, Pod Cheese with my pal Benny Michaels, and It's All About Me, the show with Holly and Rorschach. That's on Saturdays. And then, of course, all the shows here on the More Like Radio. We got Markout Radio. We got The Red Show. We have Lust and Love. We got Cousin Joe. We got all this stuff.
In the chat room, Chim, who's a regular friend, just said, yay, daytime duds on next.
That's Mitch, actually. Chim is Mitch.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, because it's
this whole community, man, they're all, it's all intertwined. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, they all really love cool. And hate each other, so. But we got to get going because we're already past 10 o'clock, so. All right, Kenny, I'll talk to you. Give me a call tomorrow, right?
No, I'm going to give you a call in like 2 minutes. I'm going to take a piss, and once you show
up, never going to get you off the phone. All right.
I have to talk to you.
I just talked to you for 3 hours.
I can't go to bed without talking to you. I just miss you. I just miss you so much it hurts.
God, I hate you.
And you're losing weight, and it's really, really
cool. Shut up. Hate you. All right. Let's go.
That's why we love each other.
All right. Can you make me some money at this fucking business already? You're the fucking star.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying. January 25th. I told you, January 25th. Big budget. Me, you, nobody else.
All right, good job. All right, man, I'm out of here.
Stay
See you later,
everybody. I miss you, pal.
Fuck you.
Kisses.
Bye.
Well, so long, loser. I'll see you next week.